Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out of a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key, or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away, huh. But I feel alright, I feel alright tonight. Feel alright. I feel alright tonight. And I'll bring you precious contraband.
Right, all right, all right. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. And we're here until 5 a.m. It is Friday. So that means all of our regular Friday features will happen later on. We'll get to some Fly Jams on Fly Jams Friday. We got Straight Out of Context. That's when you listen to this radio station 24/7 whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty and it makes you giggle. Jot it down, the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. We'll play those back this morning. And then a Nick D Show Spies. That's when you listen to this radio station 24/7 whenever anybody mentions me or the show in any capacity. We want to know about it. You become a spy. Again, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And we've got You Big Dummy coming up as well. And we're going to have a lot of fun this morning. Talking a little bit later on, we're going to talk with Paul Contarato, who is part of the Chicago International Pen Show, which is happening this week. Bob Ferguson, a great engineer here, turned us on to this Chicago International Pen Show. He sent us the info because he knows that my dad is like crazy, collects pens. He loves to collect pens. He's got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different pens. And this is a pen show that they take very seriously. And it's this weekend. It's happening right now, and it goes through Sunday. It's at the Chicago Marriott Northwest. That's in Hoffman Estates. And we're going to talk pens with Paul coming up a little bit later on. So that's happening. In just a few minutes, our good friend Herb Weisbaum is going to join us. He is our consumer man. And if you have any consumer-related questions or concerns, he wants to help you out. The idea is to, you know, keep you from getting scammed, help you to take care of your money, and just any sort of consumer-related issues or questions that you have. Herb's going to be here in just a few minutes, so you can call us or you can text us at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for our monthly visit with Herb. That's coming up in just a few minutes. We're going to pay tribute to Peter Mayhew, who is Chewbacca. He passed away yesterday. And we're also going to talk about celebrity names as well as our regular features. So that's all that's happening on the show this morning. We hope to hear from you through talk or text. Contribute, please, at 312-981-7200. You can get your Fly Jam requests in, too. DJ Luscious Hushus will play them a little bit later on. And it's 312-981-7200. You can follow us on Twitter, at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected, though, is on our Facebook page. You should like us right now. It's facebook.com/Nick D Show. facebook.com/Nick D Show. So like us right now. Whatever's happening on the show is also happening on the Facebook page. That's why you should be a part of it right there. That's coming up here on this Friday morning, chilly Friday morning out there. Let me say hello to my producer, Tom Hush. Tom, how are you, man?
Doing great. Feeling good on this Friday.
It's Friday, man. You're going to the Cub game today.
Yes, I am.
That's great, man.
Got to get a few, winks in there before I have to get up again at about noonish.
This is going to be a fun series, man.
Love it.
Anytime they play the Cardinals, it's interesting. But you got, you know, four in a row, sweeping the Mariners, killing the Mariners the last game, 11-0. I hope the bats stay alive this whole weekend and we can kill the Redbirds.
Yeah, need them hot. Need them hot.
Exactly. Well, have fun at the game, man.
Oh, looking forward to it.
All right. In the newsroom is Vic Vaughn. Hi, Vic.
Morning, sir.
How are you, man?
I'm okay. I'm Tom, excited for the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for the, baseball this weekend. I mean, it's, you know, anytime they play the Cardinals, obviously, you get a little bit more, you get a little bit more jacked. You know what I mean?
Definitely, and I'll definitely be watching today. So 120.
120 tomorrow, 305, and then they're the primetime game on Sunday night. So it's going to be a fun weekend.
I'll be waking up with Dorito crumbs on my belly around 2, so I'll probably get about 40 minutes of the game, and then I'll fall asleep.
Exactly. You know, somebody, we were talking in the newsroom before the show about that, because the Sunday night game is like the primetime game. That means Joe Buck is going to be doing the TV play-by-play.
Woo-hoo.
Oh, man. Yeah, not my favorite. Cubs fans, not a big fan of the Joe Buck.
We won't air our discussion.
We had a pretty interesting discussion that you can't say on air.
But it derived from my conversations with Jeannie when the Cubs won the World Series early on in that series, and I was telling
the National Championship.
And I was telling Jeannie early in game two, I was telling her, I think he's following the wrong narrative, because he was really excited and talking up Kershaw.
Yeah.
And It just seemed like he felt like the Dodgers were going to win it, and I just kept telling him he's missing his 100-year-old story.
Not only that, he was clearly biased. There was no question about it. Every time he calls a Cub game, he's rooting for the other team. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
So I'll watch the game on Sunday night, and I'll end up being really mad when I come into work. I just want to let everybody know, just because I'll have to listen to him. So the Cubs are going to have to win all three games. That's it. That's all I'm saying. So. All right, so that's what's happening here on the weekend. I know you, Vic, you got your kids this weekend, so that should be fun, right?
Yeah, all three. It's a rare weekend with all three of them, because now that they're getting older, especially the two boys in sports, I rarely get all three. So
yeah, well, that's fun, man.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
All right, it'll be a good weekend. I think we're supposed to have nice weather for most of the weekend.
Yeah, dry Saturday.
That's cool.
A little bit of rain tomorrow morning, but other than that, dry tomorrow too.
I'm excited to see Dennis Quaid terrorize a couple. Because I love Dennis Quaid, and also I'm really intrigued by this Seth Rogen Furiosa movie. Charlize Theron, but I prefer to call her Furiosa. Long Shot. I hear nothing but good things about it.
It got great reviews out of South by.
Yeah, and Eric saw it.
Yeah, he liked it.
And he really liked it a lot. And, you know, I look forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually looking forward to it. I hope it's funny. And I am looking forward to that. Although I've kind of reached my limit with the Seth Rogen, but this isn't the kind of Seth Rogen movie that I've reached my limit with. I'm talking stuff like Neighbors and the end of the, what the hell was This Is the End?
Is that
what
it
was
called?
Yeah. That one. And a lot of those I've reached my limit on those Seth Rogen's pot comedies. What's the one, the Christmas one they did, The Night Before?
Yeah. The Night Before was kind of jumping the shark on it.
Yeah, I kind of reached my limit on in that regard, but this is, you know, like, this is a change of pace actually for both of those people, because I was just thinking, Charlize Theron doesn't do a lot of rom-coms or at all. Most of the movies that she does, she kills people in. That's she kills a lot of people.
Yeah, Monster.
Like Monster, you know, Furiosa's Mad Max, mm-hmm. Atomic Blonde. She kills like 63 people in that movie.
Fate of the Furious.
Yeah. Yeah, she's usually got something going on where she's killing people. This doesn't do the romantic comedy thing very often, so this should be interesting. And she was on with Trevor last night. She was on Daily Show with Trevor Noah, and they get along famously.
Oh yeah, well they're both
South from African. South Africans. Yeah. So they get along. They get along really, really great. But it looks good. I hope it's really good. So those are the movies that I'm going to see. And there's this Ugly Dolls movie. If I have time to see the animated one, I'll have time to see that. We'll see, but we'll review all of that stuff on Monday morning. So. Okay, that's what's happening on this Friday morning show. We're going to talk Pens with Paul Contarato a little bit later on from the Chicago International Pen Show. All the regular Friday features are happening, and we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, it's time for Herb Weissbaum, who is the Consumer Man. Check out consumerman.com, and he can answer any and all of your questions or concerns about consumer issues, and he's here to help. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. So call right now, and we'll come back, and Herb will be here. Monday, Monday. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. All of our regular Friday features coming up in a little bit. But right now, we want to welcome back to the show for his monthly visit, the consumer man himself, Herb Weisbaum. Check out consumerman.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at consumerman. He helps us out, talks about consumer issues, and takes your questions and your concerns at 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Let's welcome Herb back to the show. Herb, how are you?
Hi, Nick. I'm doing fine. Good. And for regular listeners, I'm here on time tonight.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Yes, that's right. Last time you were out walking the dog, if I remember correctly.
Right.
Yeah.
I told Tom, your producer, I've got more sticky notes in the house on the mirror, on the toilet seat, on the refrigerator, on my car dashboard. You're on with Nick tonight.
Well, we're always glad to have you, Herb. Give everybody background on you and all that cool stuff that we do every month.
Sure. I cover the consumer beat for NBCNews.com, write a weekly column for them. You can find all those posted on my website, consumerman.com. And if you feel like it, you can join the newsletter I have once a week. I just send out what I've been doing on my local radio station, KOMO, here in Seattle, and also what I do for NBC News, so it just keeps you up to date on what's going on. I like to save you money. I like to help you be smarter. I can't stand criminals and bad guys. Help you avoid the scams, and that's just what I try to do.
All right. We always talk about some consumer-related stories, and people can go to consumerman.com for all that information. All right. Okay, Herb, let's talk about the dark web monitoring. This is sometimes some people are a little confused by this. We can maybe shed a light a little bit on this on the story that you wrote about.
Sure. A second ago, you just had a commercial, actually, for dark web monitoring. It's the biggest thing going now for all of these services that are either security services or for credit monitoring services or monitoring services. And the problem that I shed the light on with these things is we're afraid of the dark web. We hear about it. We know that it's something nefarious. Basically, what it is, it's a part of the web that most browsers can't access, and this is where the bad guys do all their dirty work. You'll go to the dark web. You will find websites that sell stolen credit card numbers, that sell stolen debit card numbers, that sell stolen Social Security numbers, stolen license plate numbers, that sort of thing. So it's clearly something that we have an interest in knowing about if our information is there. Odds are our information is there with all the data breaches that have taken place in the last couple of years. But these services are now using this as the pitch to get you to spend that $10 to $30 a month for their identity theft protection services. According to a survey or a report, I should say, by the Consumer Federation of America, 36% of those who'd seen the ads or heard the ads for dark web monitoring incorrectly believed that they can remove personal information from the dark web. They can't. And 37% mistakenly believe that they can prevent stolen information sold on the dark web from being used. They can't. So that's key confusion that people need to know. So in other words, if they spot something on the dark web, number one, they cannot remove it. If it's there, it's there. And number two, they can't stop the bad guys from using it. If it's there, it's there, and they can use it. So the reality is, the bottom line is, no one can erase the data that winds up in the underground cyber marketplace or prevent it from being sold, exchanged, or used. And with some of the commercials and some of the over-the-top ads that I've seen online, et cetera, a lot of companies pitching this service, it really makes it seem like they can do a lot more for you than they really can. And I think that's the major concern that I and other consumer advocates have.
Okay, well, what do they do then?
Well, actually, they use a technology that was developed in about 2006, and the term is called scraping. That's what it's called, Nick. The company can monitor hundreds of online chat rooms and websites and peer-to-peer networks that deal with stolen personal identity information, and then download that data for analysis, and then if they find that your information is on there, they can contact you and let you know that your information is on the dark web. But here's the deal. These darknet scrapers can't discover everything, and most of the stuff that's on the dark web, experts and even cyber criminals or former cyber criminals have told me, is behind paywalls. In other words, the bad guys have to pay for this stuff. You just don't go on the dark web and get stolen credit card numbers. You have to pay for them. They're behind a paywall. So this technology that these credit monitoring services or the identity theft monitoring services are using can't get behind those paywalls. So something like 90% of what's on the dark web, the bad stuff, is behind the paywall. So they can find a few things, but they can't find most of what's on there. And that's, again, another one of the problems problems with the advertising that makes it seem like they're doing everything when they're really not. So is this a valuable service or not? Some people I speak to for the story said absolutely not. It's a waste of time. They use words like fraud and scam and et cetera, et cetera. Others say, you know what, if you're already getting the service and this adds just a little bit more information to your database and maybe encourages you to take the steps you should take anyway because it's like a slap in the face, hey, your stuff is out there, pay attention, start being careful, then maybe it's worth it. But it's certainly something that I wouldn't be afraid of at night if I went to sleep and didn't have that service. I don't have that service, and I sleep very well, thank you.
Well, what you can do on your own to battle this?
Sure. Well, there's a couple of things you can do. First of all, and we've talked about this on your show many times before, is monitor your accounts. You can check your credit card accounts, check your bank accounts, your financial accounts. You know, some people say every day. I think that's a little over the top. I don't even do that. But once a week, just go online and look for anything suspicious, because in the world of identity theft and cyber fraud, the quicker you find it, the less damage can be done. So the key is you want to find it more quickly. You can also, by the way, set up alerts on your accounts. So if folks listening haven't done that, go to your credit card account, go to your checking account, your debit card account, your financial account they offer, and you can go on in about a minute and a half, set up alerts. So, for instance, on my checking account, I know every time there's a check that was processed and I put on it $200. You can put on it whatever you want. I know every single time my credit card is used on a non-in-person transaction, so an internet transaction, I know instantaneously when that takes place. I get an alert from my bank. You can get email alerts. You can get text alerts. Anytime cash is taken out of the ATM, I know instantaneously when that is done. And foreign transactions. I'm not buying things in other countries. If somebody's doing a foreign transaction with my number, I want to know about it right away. So those are the kind of things you can do. Supercharge your passwords. I mean, that's the key, is people are using really weak passwords and they're using them over and over and over again on multiple accounts. If they hack one account or your information's in the dark web on one account, they'll use their algorithms to try to use them on your other accounts. So get a password manager. There's a lot of them around. LastPass, Dashlane, KeePass, they're all with the stories on my website. They're in this article. Some of them are free. They store your passwords, really complex passwords, unique for every site, and then you can use them on every single device you have, your laptop, your desktop, your mobile device, etc., and then have strong passwords. And then finally, something a lot of people don't do is get a copy of your credit report. It's free every single year, annualcreditreport.com, every 12 months from Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. You want to look for anything that doesn't make any sense. Your address was changed. Your date of birth has changed. There's credit cards you didn't take out, that kind of thing, and freeze your credit. We've talked about this many, many times. It's one of the most important things you can do. Lock up your credit file right away. It's free. Go to Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. Lock that up, and then criminals, if they get some of your information, they can't open new accounts in your name, because to do that, you got to get a credit score, and if your file is locked up, nobody can get a credit score, so they can't open a credit card in your name, a bank account in your name, a cell phone account in your name, a cable account in your name, probably can't rent an apartment in your name. It makes it a lot harder to do the most lucrative crimes that they try to do by freezing it. It's free. You can open it or close it anytime you want. You want to buy a car, you're going to go car shopping this weekend, you thaw the account. You just go online, boom, I want to open up temporarily for 3 days. The car dealer can run your credit score, tell you what the price for the loan is, or your lender can tell you what the price for the loan is, and it's locked back up again. And do it for the kids and the family as well. A million kids had their identity stolen last year. Bad guys love children because they have a clean slate and they're not looking at their credit file, so they have years and years and years to do nefarious things before it's ever spotted. And last but not least, Nick, just look for anything weird. You know, if your 10-year-old's getting jury summons, if your 5-year-old is getting notices that from collection agencies, a sign that something's wrong and you better investigate and find out what's going on. So it's all the little warning. Don't assume it's a mistake. Assume that that's a warning flag that something is going on in your life and you really need to take care of it.
All right. All right, and by the way, all the links and everything in that whole article is available at consumerman.com for your convenience. So there you go.
Yeah, and I just made a speech this week about identity theft, and one tip I shared with everybody was, you know those things we get every month from the insurance company that says, this is not a bill?
Yeah.
Well, so we don't look at it?
Yeah.
Because it says this is not a bill. Why would I bother to look at it? That is a check every month on the kind of things that are being charged to you for medical. Medical identity theft is one of the top two types of identity theft because they make so much money using your medical file to charge things, buy drugs, and sell them on the black market, et cetera. Just take a quick skim. You know, if you see on it, Nick, that all of a sudden you got 100 oxycodone pills and you didn't do that, or you had your tonsils out in Cleveland and you weren't there and you still have your tonsils, somebody's using your medical file to do my medical identity theft and do bad things. That's how you use that. Just look and find there if there's anything that doesn't make any sense. That's what you're doing with all these things. If anything seems out of the ordinary, something's going on, that's how you can spot these things then and try to take care of them right away.
All right, Herb, thanks. Hang on a second, okay?
You got it.
All right. Herb Weisbaum is with us. He's the consumer man. Everybody hang on. We're going to get to your questions. If you have questions or concerns, 312-981-7200 for talk or text. And we'll get back with Herb right after we break for the news, which is coming up right after this. Again, 312-981-7200, text or talk for any consumer-related questions or concerns, and Herb will help you out. All right. News is up after this. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. It's Friday. That means all the regular Friday features will be coming up straight out of context. Nick D Show Spies, you big dummy. Fly Jams Friday. All that and more. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Let's get back to our conversation, our monthly visit with Herb Weisbaum. He's the Consumer Man. Check out consumerman.com. He's here to talk about some consumer stories and issues and answer your questions. And let's get Herb back on the line. Hi, Herb.
Hello, Nick.
All right. We have a listener who has a question. Let's.
Okay.
Here's Laura on WGN. Go ahead, Laura.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Thanks, Herb, for taking my call. And I too, am, by the way, a sticky person, sticky no person, and a dog lover. And thank you for reminding me to freeze my credit. Okay, I'll be very quick because I'm sure there's a lot of people that want to get their questions in.
Sure, go ahead.
On March 17th, these are a pertinent date. On March 17th, I went in for a massage to a massage therapist who I'd been seeing on a regular basis. I would go on occasion. I'd bought a package before and had exhausted it, and then let some time go by and then decided to refer. At the end of the massage, 1 hour massage, I asked her whether or not I could get a three pack. And she says, yes, of course, you could use this day's massage as a three pack, but you have 3 months to use your massages as is on my website. I said, okay, no problem. So I went to book the second massage, and she kind of screwed up the appointment, but it ended up that I went for May 1st for my second massage. And as I'm leaving, she says, you know, you only have until May 14th to use your third massage. And I said, no, I have until June, early to mid-June. She goes, no, you don't. So then we were going back and forth. I have no idea what to do. I tried to contact the Better Business Bureau, but they're not. They said that's not the kind of thing that they deal with. And then she sent me this very weird note, which reads as follows. As I stated to you before, massage three packs are to be used within 3 months of their purchase date. You scheduled an appointment for a 60-minute massage, and upon checking out, you decided on purchasing a three-pack and asked if I could use one of the massages against your already scheduled service. I complied and informed you that you had two remaining massages and that you must use them by May 17th. Of course, I was in a daze, didn't do anything, didn't acknowledge it. I just left. You ordinarily, yes, your three-pack would cover 3 months from the date of purchase, but because you did not pay for your regular scheduled massage, I don't know what she means by that, it left you with two remaining massages. Yes, it did leave me with two remaining to be used within the next 2 months. No, within the next 3 months. It's good for 3 months.
Okay, so making a long story short, they won't deal with you?
What?
Now she just says you must use your last massage. She was advised you must use your last massage by June 17th Please note that you now have an unpaid balance, though, of $85 for massage services rendered on March 17 due immediately. I have no idea what she's thinking.
All right, Herb.
Okay, so how did you pay for this?
I put it on my credit card.
Okay, so you should talk to your credit card. If the Better Business Bureau won't help you, I'm surprised because this is the kind of thing they actually try to help people do. Maybe you got the wrong person there, but if the BBB can't help you, you have basically two options. You can, I would contact the credit card company. You're going to have to put this in writing. You can challenge the charge right away on the phone, call the 800 number on your card, but then you're going to have to follow up with a letter and tell them what's going on. Or you could, if you want to, if you feel like you want to pursue it, you can take it to a small claims court just to make your point that, you know, you might wanted to say, this is not right, put it in writing, and if you're not going to honor the terms of the deal, I'm going to take you to small claims court.
I thought about the credit card thing, but I paid $218 for three, and I did get two, so what am I complaining that I didn't
get? Well, you're complaining that you didn't get what you paid for. You paid for three.
Right, but she's willing to now give me my third by June 17th, but now she's adding, but P.S., you owe me $85 now.
Okay, let me do this. Why don't you give Nick's producer your telephone number, because this is a little more complicated than I can do in 60 seconds here, and we'll try to figure this out offline for you, okay?
All right, Laura, hang on, okay? Hang on, Laura.
The rule here, Nick, is you've got to, when you purchase something from a small little shop, you better get it in writing and get a certificate or something that's on my website or whatever, and the smart thing is if you do use a credit card, you have someone to go to if there is a problem. And if the business is really doing something crazy, then you really got to figure out what to do other than that. But at least, you know, if that the credit card was a smart way to do it, but always get those things in writing. And you have to be careful. You buy advanced things. If the company goes out of business or whatever, you're out of luck. You know, it's like lifetime warranty or lifetime is the warranty of that company, how long it stays in business, not necessarily your lifetime.
Right. Okay. All right, Laura, hang on, and we'll get the information from Laura and get it to Herb, and he can help you out off the air. You wrote about where you can find the cheapest prices on dog and cat food.
Yes, because you know I have my critters, my dog and my cat.
Yep.
And it's estimated that the average pet parent spends about $120 to $500 a year feeding their dog or cat for their kibble and chow kind of thing. And a lot of people might not realize how much these products really do vary from place to place. And I got a report from the group called checkbook.org. They're from the Center for the Study of Services, an independent nonprofit consumer group, great organization back in Washington, D.C. And they print a publication called Consumer's Checkbook, sorry, that's the name of it, and one of the markets I believe it is actually sold in is in Chicago. Mm. And they decided to find out. So what they did is they compared prices for 11 popular dog food and cat foods at a sample of pet stores and big box stores and grocery stores and warehouse clubs in a bunch of cities, including Chicago and here in Seattle. And they priced them out, and they found out that if you get the best price versus the worst price that they found, you could save 40% overall on what you would pay for your pet food. That
wow.
is a pretty big spread.
That is.
And some of the things that they found were the lowest prices were consistently offered by the places I think you might expect. Walmart would be one, and membership warehouse clubs, Sam's Clubs, and BJ's Wholesale. Costco, they said, also has really low prices for pet food, but because most of what they have is their own Kirkland brand, it was not easy to compare prices and match it up with the others.
Right.
So, but here's the breakdown. Here are the four bullet points. Sam's Club prices were 22% lower than the all-store average. BJ's Wholesale Club was 18% lower than average. Walmart was 12% lower than average, and PetSmart was only about 2% lower than average. Petco was about the same as average, Checkbook found out.
Mm. Okay. And what about online? Because I know a lot of people are using services online to get their pet supplies.
And you would assume that a lot of people will say, well, it's online, it's got to be cheaper, right?
Yeah.
Not necessarily, at least based on what this survey found. I mean, having a 50-pound bag of dog food dropped off of your house is convenient.
Yeah.
But you know, it depends on how much more you're paying for it. They found that Chewy.com, that's actually a company I use, was the least expensive online option with prices about 11% lower than the all-star average. But listen to this one. Amazon's prices for the products they surveyed were 5% higher than average, more expensive than several other online retailers' prices, and about 18% higher than Chewy's.
Wow.
A lot of people think Amazon has the lowest price on everything. Amazon does not. have the lowest price on everything. Take that from a guy who lives in Seattle, where they're headquartered. But if you're going to shop online, a couple of tips. You know, make sure you order enough to get the free shipping, because if you're going to pay for the shipping, it's not worth, you're going to lose any benefit you have. And in some cases, you can order online and pick up at the store and save. So at Petco, you get an in-store pickup of 10% discount. PetSmart, it's a 5% discount. And then some of these companies, like Chewy.com and Amazon, offer what's called auto ship program. So you agree that every month you're going to get a certain supply of stuff. And if you do that, you're probably going to save about 5%. That sounds like it's onerous, but don't worry, because you can modify the shipment and say, no, this month I have too much. I don't want this, or I don't want that. I want to change it around. So it's not like you're locked in. But if you regularly do it and know exactly how much you're spending, you can get a situation where you'll save a little bit on that.
Okay. Now, you did your own shopping. You went
decided to do a little investigative reporting here and just see what was – it was fascinating. So I went in person to six stores in the area, and then I went to six online stores, including some of the ones at the physical stores I had just gone to. And it was fascinating to see, because here's what I found out. I found out that prices are – as the survey showed, are all over the place, Nick. I'll give you just one example. A bag of Pedigree Complete adult dog food, which everybody sold, was 52 cents a pound at the cheapest place and $1.40 a pound at the most expensive place.
Wow.
That's a huge difference.
Yeah.
I can't do the math because I'm a reporter, but that's a big difference. In most cases, buying the bigger size will save you money, but not always, so you have to be sure to check. Online prices, as the checkbook folks found out, are not always the lowest prices. And in some cases, the store and the online had the same price. But in some cases, I found one case where the online price was significantly higher than the store price, which didn't make any sense, but that was where it was. And then finally, just it's not easy to comparison shop, because all these products come in a million different sizes. Like the Chewies, you know, the thing you give your dogs to clean their breath and clean their teeth.
Yeah.
You know, they came in, Greenies, I'm sorry, Greenies, isn't
Greenies,
it?
Yeah.
They came in six-pack, 8-pack, 12-pack, 24-pack, 36-ounce pack. So you're trying to figure this out. Even if you have unit pricing in your area, it's like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
You have to use a calculator on your phone, or there's what's called a unit price calculator online, and put in the size and the price, and it tells you what the real price is, which is the only real way, because sometimes the bigger price size was not really always the cheapest. And if you get to a place where there's a small package, like some pet stores had really small packages, and you're stuck, you may buy it there because you have to, but that's certainly not the way to buy on a regular basis. You're probably going to be paying more money for that.
And another thing I found really interesting is that there are actually peak times to buy your pet food and pet supplies during the year.
Yeah, I spoke to the folks at RetailMeNot. It's a great site with all kind of coupons, and they do have coupons, by the way, for pet food. So if you're looking to do that, they have a lot of manufacturers and some store coupons. And they said the deepest discounts on dog and cat food around Memorial Day, I have no idea why, at 19% off. And then other peak times, they say, are the end of September and during Cyber Week after Thanksgiving. So if it's dry food and it's not going to go to waste, you can stock up. I always say buy it when it's cheap and stick it in the cupboard if you can.
Yeah, no, that's a good advice, real good advice.
Yeah.
The full article with links and everything is available on consumerman.com. In a related question from the 630 area code, they say, hi, Herb, adopted an 8-month pup, and what animal insurance is most favored? Thank you.
Well, I did a story about that a short time ago, and according to Checkbook, which actually did a huge survey of these things, they found two that they gave top two paws up to. It was Healthy Paws and Trupanion. Two of the big national companies are the ones that they thought were two of the best. Anything is better than what most people have, which is nothing, and then you get stuck with a huge bill, and it does happen, thousands and thousands of dollars. If you want to, Nick, if you can get that if that person is listening, if you send me a note to herb@consumerman.com, I will send you the link to this article, which spells out everything you need to do, or go on my website and just click down into the old stories. You'll see a picture of my dog, Sam, and it talks all about pet insurance, and it goes into the ins and outs and why it makes sense and everything like that.
Okay. That's 630 area code. Go ahead.
Oh, so, you know the story. My dog got a disease called leptospirosis. It's normally fatal, but I got him to emergency in time a couple of years ago, and he was in ICU for 5 nights, $10,000.
Wow.
And, I mean, as healthy as could be, and then got this back to this bug and was on his butt, so to speak, and almost died. It was because it goes to your kidneys, their kidneys. And $10,000 bill, I have trepanning, and I had a $9,000 check within 3 days.
Oh, well, there you go.
I don't know a health insurance company for people that's that good.
Yeah, that's true. Herb, hang on, okay?
Okay.
Herb Weisbaum is with us, and we'll get more consumer stories coming up right after we take this break on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here till 5 a.m. It is Friday. That means all the regular Friday features will be coming up. Fly Jams Friday, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show, Spies, and You Big Dummy. We're also going to talk about Peter Mayhew, who played Chewbacca. He passed away. We'll talk about that and remember him. And much more right here on 720 WGN. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Right now we're talking with our good friend Herb Weisbaum, who joins us once a month. He's a contributor to NBC News and KOMO in Seattle. You can follow him on Twitter at ConsumerMan and check out his website at ConsumerMan.com. Herb, welcome back.
By the way, do you know how tall Peter Mayhew was?
7'4".
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he was.
I never knew that until I heard the obituary tonight.
Yeah, 7'4". He was a huge guy, very, very big guy. Yeah. So, people love Chewbacca too. I mean, even if you're not a Star Wars fan, Chewbacca's got to be one of your favorite characters.
And I am a Star Wars fan. And in my career, one point, I got to go to Skywalker Ranch and watch them making the first Star Wars video when I was CBS Network.
Wow.
Man, oh man, was that a thrill of a lifetime.
It's got to be. That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll talk about him in a little bit. Okay. All right, Herb, we're getting back to it. You also wrote about how to recycle, resell, and buy used electronics. This can tend to be a dicey thing, correct?
Well, it's actually a good thing if you're just careful about what you do, and it's a good thing for the environment, obviously. I mean, we're always changing these cell phones and these devices. A lot of people just simply throw them away. These things are not designed to go into a landfill. They're toxic waste. They got chemicals that can leach out into the water supply, so you don't want to do that. And the point of the story was that you can, if you have something old, what you can do with it is don't throw it in the trash. If it's still working, you could donate it if you want to, or you could recycle it if you want to, or you could sell it if you want to and get some money for it. And you can do that through a company called Eco ATM Gazelle, as in the animal, Eco ATM Gazelle. And they have these kiosks all over the place where you can literally just, there are thousands of them all across the country, and you can go there like in a shopping mall and tell them what you have, and they'll make you an offer. And if you accept the offer, you put it in the slot, and you get your money in a gift card or a PayPal or however you want the money to come instantaneously. Or you can go online to their website and Gazelle. Just go to gazelle.com and they'll make you an offer in 60 seconds or less as to what you have. And if you're interested, they'll send you the box and they'll send you the shipping and they pay for it. You send it back. And once they verify, that, your, device is in the shape that you say it is, they'll send you off the money. So that's the good thing for the one side. And then if you're looking to buy electronics, you know, you can buy these, refurbished products that are basically as good as new. You know, these days when the reason why manufacturers don't want to bring stuff back is because they can't sell it a used item. Even if you open the seal or took it out of the box, it's new again. So they've got to have a market for these things. And what they do is they refurbish these old things, and in some cases just simply repackaging them nicely. Some cases it's just making sure everything's okay and replacing with factory parts anything that might be damaged. But most cases they're fine. And they sell them for really cheap. And you can go online. The big stores have them, like Best Buy has them, and Amazon has these places where they sell recycled products, refurbished products. Or you can go to the manufacturers. Dell has them, Samsung has them, Apple has them. Or you can go to this site, Gazelle. They not only buy, but they sell the ones that they buy. And I went online the other day, and I found a iPhone XS Max, 64 gigabyte, excellent condition for $824. An iPhone 6, excellent condition for $174. Yeah, it's a little bit of older technology, but the 6 was a good phone. And if, you know, you just need a phone and don't need the latest and greatest, why spend a fortune for it? And an iPhone iPad Pro 12.9-inch screen. It's got Wi-Fi 4G LTE, excellent condition for $529. So this can also be a money-saving way to buy electronics, and the only way the circle works is for people to buy the stuff that's being sold back to these companies so they can make some money on it. Some of them give guarantees, like Samsung and Apple. They give you a year warranty on their products, mm-hmm. So you can feel secure about doing that. And if you're looking to save money and don't need the latest and greatest, it's certainly a smart way to go.
Well, and it seems like there are a lot of outlets that do this, where you can buy used electronics.
Oh, there's a ton of them. I mean, as I said, Amazon has what it calls its warehouse deals. Apple Store has it. Best Buy has its outlet store online. There's actually an outlet store here in Seattle, so I think they have some of the outlet stores in the physical space as well.
Yeah.
A company called Black Market that I had never heard of, but a lot of people recommended to me. A very good electronics company called Crutchfield Outlet Store. Dell, Microsoft, Samsung certified pre-owned, Walmart certified refurbished. Lots of places. They're all listed, links directly to them with this story on consumerman.com. But again, maybe for a kid, a second device, you just don't really need something that much. They're really good products. I bought a pair, you know, the headphones you wear. I bought a refurbished pair of those that I needed at the radio station. They're usually those Sony things are like $200-something.
Yeah.
And I got them brand new, $60. The box had been open. They couldn't sell them as new.
Wow. Okay.
So it's a really good way to go.
Got to keep looking around for things. And you should purge your digital devices before you sell or recycle them, correct?
Yes, thank you. That is the really, really big point. You can't count on them to do it. You've actually got to be careful and purge your device, and that means if it's a phone, you remove the SIM card. Deleting the old data is not enough to do that. You've got to actually run some software to actually nuke anything that may be on the device, and again, I have links to that on the story. And then if you're about to buy a device, and here's the really part that people don't think about, you don't know if that device has malware on it. I mean, it's supposed to be set to factory settings. Everything's supposed to be scrubbed and clean, but that's not necessarily the case. A friend of mine did a shopping spree a couple of years ago, and he found all kinds of data on these things. I mean, tax records, pornography, all kinds of stuff. So it means they didn't clean off the phone. And if you get that phone or that laptop or whatever, and it's got malware on it, it could steal all your personal information. So you've got to make sure that you put a security software on there right away and run that software before you do anything on that recycled device, just to be safe.
Okay. All right. And again, the full story is available at consumerman.com.
With lots of links, yeah.
All right, cool. Before we let you go, we got one last quick question. Here's Joe. Joe, go ahead.
Listen, Nick, I look for the Herb's appearance every month. This is a real good program.
Okay.
Thank
What's
you.
Your question? We're running out of time, Joe.
Real brief question. I'm a Costco member. Opinion about buying a car through Costco as opposed to going to the dealership and negotiating myself.
Right. I can tell you I bought two cars by going through Costco, and it makes the process incredibly easier. I went with a friend of mine who used to sell cars, and he said to me, and he bought his car that way, he said, yeah, if we had spent 2 hours haggling, I probably could have gotten it down another $100. My time is valuable to me. The dealer has the right to make a little bit of profit. By using the program, I knew that I was getting a good deal. And where you got to be careful is they're still going to try to make money on the upsells to the features or the back room where they're doing the financing. That does not get taken care of with the Costco, the price. So that's what you got to make sure. Always go with somebody if you're going to a car dealer, and you can always shop around and compare that price to another dealer and just say, hey, I got this price here. Are you willing to beat it? And if so, I'll shop with you. But that's the answer to that question.
There you go. Then, all right. Joe, thanks for the call.
Well, thanks, Joe.
Yeah. And again, real quickly, you did put a story up that if people want to read it, we don't have time to talk about it, but the Travel Rewards credit card.
Because it's travel season, and you know, they can be really, really good if you use them carefully. Only if you pay off the balance in full every single month. And we also looked at some of the bonuses. People just think they're better than they are. That was the point of the story. Some people thought a point was worth a dollar, or a mile's worth a dollar. They're worth a penny. So they got a little carried away with and disappointed with what they thought they were going to get. So this sort of explains how they really work, lists some of the best ones. And tomorrow or so, we're going to have a story up also about the top-rated airlines and hotels. So if you're doing any traveling, check consumerman.com over the weekend or on Monday, and I'll have all that stuff up there for you.
That's great. Herb, always a pleasure, man. It's always informative and lots of fun to talk to you, and we'll talk to you next month.
Thank you, Nick. You have a good one.
All right, buddy. Take care. Herb Weisbaum, our good friend, consumerman.com is the website. Everything you need, and subscribe to his newsletter. He's here to help. All right. We'll take a quick break. We got the news coming up, and then after the news, we'll talk with Paul Contarato, who is a partner and part of the Chicago International Pen Show, which is happening all weekend this weekend. And we're going to jump into that right after the news, which is after this.
Paper Lock Riser.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We're here until 5 a.m. It is Friday morning, and that means it's time for all of our regular Friday features. Fly Jams Friday. Straight out of context, Nick D. Show Spies, and You Big Dummy. All coming up this morning. So, it's interesting. My dad, as I mentioned before, my dad is a collector of pens. And he's got, like, I don't even know how many of them. But anytime I go somewhere and they have a pen related to it, I got him, like, for Christmas, one of his favorite gifts that I got him was a bunch of emoji pens that had different emoji faces on the end of them. He collects pens, and he just loves them. And so this is common knowledge around here. And Bob Ferguson, who is one of our great engineers here at WGN, came across this Chicago International Pen Show, and immediately thought of my father and his love of pens. But there's much more to it than just that. There's a lot of stuff going on, and there's a Chicago International Pen Show, and it's now through Sunday. It's at the Chicago Marriott Northwest in Hoffman Estates, and we thought this was a pretty interesting, an interesting show, and we didn't really know about it until Bob brought it to our attention. We wanted to bring somebody on to talk about it, and we have Paul Contarato is with us. Paul, welcome to the show, sir.
Good morning, Nick. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm well. So where are you from? Give us a little background.
Well, I'm from exotic Geneva, actually.
Okay.
So it's only about a 25-minute drive for me to come to the show, which is kind of pleasant.
Yeah. First of all, tell me about how you got involved in with the world of pens and penmanship and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I was raised Catholic.
Yep,
and what happened was, in second grade, we were not allowed to use anything but fountain pens. And it's been pretty much all downhill ever since then. I used them pretty much exclusively through school and into college. At that point, after college, I had a job and was using it. One of my customers noticed that I was doing that and gave me a beautiful set of 1928 Parker Duofold Senior in orange plastic that had belonged to his late aunt and said they'd have to be fixed. I found a place, got them fixed, then started researching where I could buy more. Mm-hmm. And 20 years ago, I went to the first Chicago show, figuring I was going to take it by storm. I was very disappointed. They were a lot more money than I thought. Now my partner and I run the show.
Wow. So it's been around. How long has it been around? It's 20 years, you said?
No, actually, the show itself has been around going on 35 years. It's the oldest continuous pen show in the United States. There's one that's larger than we are, but none that are older. And we're the second largest right now. We have reestablished the show, if you will. We brought it back.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, I didn't even know that there was when you found like-minded people, you found out that there were so many of them. Were you surprised?
I was pleasantly surprised, and I never realized, like so many people who come to the show the first time, that there is such diversity, so many different people involved in it, not only in pens, but of all kinds, mostly fountain pens, but ballpoints, rollerballs, pencils. We have one gentleman who literally writes the books on mechanical pencils in the world.
Wow.
Who is here at the show. I was with him tonight. And the world of inks, everybody says, you can't get ink for the fountain pens anymore. I beg to differ. If you put your stuff down and money down and found that you wanted a specific color, you can actually choose between brands and colors of about 1,800 different inks right now.
That's amazing. And has it expanded? Okay, now where's the other show, the show that you said was bigger than this one?
Washington, D.C.
And is that sort of, do people travel from all around the world to go to that one?
All the shows, actually, depending on the show, we actually have 12 or 15 different countries at our show. I had breakfast with a friend of mine from Tel Aviv this morning. And we have people from Turkey, from Germany, from France, England, Japan, Taiwan, Australia. We have people from all over the world who come to this show.
Wow. You know, that's really encouraging considering that, you know, nobody writes anymore, really. You know, the majority of people don't write anymore. And they made a big news story that came out of Texas where they were bringing back cursive writing for kids to take cursive again. And I thought that was dead.
It's not. Illinois used to have, took away the law. It used to be a law to be required to teach cursive in school. They did away with that, and they have reestablished it a few years ago. They brought it back.
Is that right?
Because they found out that the kids simply did not know how to write or read. One of my favorite lines is, how would you like to take your child to the Smithsonian Institute and see the Declaration of Independence, and they ask you what language it's written in? Because they can't read it.
Oh, man, oh, man.
But just very quickly, Yale did a study in 2014 with kids who took computer notes or just recorded or hand-wrote their notes and found out in increasing order the children, the kids, children, listen to me, the kids who took notes in longhand, hand wrote them out, did better in testing, and did better in retention, because it forces you to distill what you're hearing, so you tend to think about it a great deal, and you write it down, and it stays with you much, much longer.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to see that this is still happening. I know that the majority of people just use their computers and they just, you know, they're on keyboards and a lot of kids don't even write anything anymore, longhand or anything. And it's just...
You would be surprised how many young people we have actually coming to the shows now.
Is that right?
Yes, it is really encouraging. Us old guys have to have somebody to sell our stuff to, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
But the thing is, there are more and more younger people. I'm talking 20-somethings, even teens, who have never been to a pen show or have started coming to pen shows. We teach classes in calligraphy, and we have one that we just have how to improve your personal handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
One of the people, he couldn't make it this year, but a gentleman by the name of Michael Salt teaches an American handwriting class and a copperplate class, 4 to 5 hours. I have to shut him down at the end of 5 hours because he'd go all day. He loves it. He was President Reagan's personal calligrapher.
Oh, wow.
He couldn't make it this year because he had a stint where they paid for his whole time in Hong Kong. They worship him in the Far East.
Wow.
He is incredible. Just an incredible guy.
That's great. Well, listen, how did the Penn Show get started?
It actually started out as three or four people who were interested in pens. They were all attorneys, as it turns out, and were interested in them and kind of met once a month to compare what they found in antique stores, whatever, at the flea markets and so on. And eventually it kind of grew from there. A couple of dealers said, well, can we come and show? And it grew. At one point, the show had over... oh, I want to say around close to 250 tables. Right now, we are maxed out at our show that we're running right now at 175. It is absolutely the capacity that the hotel can get us space for.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. And by the way, it's now through Sunday at the Chicago Marriott Northwest, which is in Hoffman Estates. Let me just ask you this. What is it about fountain pens that you find so special?
It actually improves your handwriting. You remember Irv Kupcinet?
Of course, yes.
Okay. Irv was famous for having probably the worst worst handwriting in the world,
yeah,
most
right.
than most doctors.
Right.
He couldn't even read his own notes. And a friend of his who was into the pens said, I'm getting you a good fountain pen, and you're going to try it out. He actually found that it vastly improved his writing to the point where he could even read some of his notes.
Right.
But it forces you to slow down.
I see.
It forces you to slow down. You write a great deal faster and actually a little more, I think, a little more erratically with a ballpoint or even a gel writer
mm-hmm.
than you do with a fountain pen.
You know, it's funny because I have horrible handwriting, and I've directed a bunch of plays, and there have been times when I was giving notes after the show to the actors, and I couldn't read my notes. I would go, what am I, oh no, I'll get back to it. And so, maybe I need to get myself a fountain pen. I'm not sure.
Well, I'll tell you what, Sister Mary Eduarda, my second grade teacher, would still be proud of my handwriting.
Well, that's important. You want to make the sisters happy.
Absolutely.
It's difficult for, you know, it's difficult. Is it, how difficult is it? I'm a lefty. Is using a fountain pen more difficult because you're going to get the ink? Because we have the famous ink on the side of our hands thing that happens to us lefties.
My wife is a lefty. She doesn't use a fountain pen a lot, but with a little bit of care and usually a finer nib, you can write just fine with a fountain pen. There are some inks that are known for drying relatively quickly, and the finer the point, the less ink you're putting down on the paper.
Sure, that makes sense. Okay. Hey, Paul, hang on, okay?
Of course.
Okay. Paul Contarato is with us. I find this so fascinating. I didn't even know this world, these groups of people existed, and I think it's awesome. The Chicago International Pen Show is happening now through Sunday at the Chicago Marriott Northwest in Hoffman Estates. We'll give you all the details and some of the events that are happening and prices and all that stuff. So we'll take a quick break here and come back with more on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, and we're here until 5 a.m. It's Friday. All the regular Friday features coming up. Fly Jams Friday. Straight out of context. Nick D. Show Spies, you big dummy. All coming up. And we are talking right now with Paul Contarato, who is a partner of the Chicago International Pen Show. You can go to ChicagoPenShow.com. That's their website for all the information, ChicagoPenShow.com. This was pointed out to us by our great friend here, engineer Bob Ferguson, who knows that my dad is in love and collects pens, any kind of pen, novelty pen, whatever it is. He just loves pens. And so Bob told us about this, and we wanted to have somebody on to talk about it. Paul, welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah, my dad collects pens. Any kind of pen, you know, that you can get, he loves them. He's got like cups on his desk, cups just filled with pens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do too, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's just I think it's a unique thing to collect and really, really love. But every time I go anywhere, he's like, bring back a pen if they've got one. And so I bring them back whenever I go someplace, or I ask if they have like a pen with their logo on it or anything like that. If, you know, I go to a sporting event, I'll get like a pen with the sports logo on it and bring it to him. He's just got hundreds and hundreds of them at home, and I think it's fun. He loves it.
Logo pens and pencils are another facet of the hobby.
Yeah.
Not just the fountain pens themselves. The fountain pens themselves can get to be very expensive.
Oh, I bet.
But they can also be very, very reasonable. There's even a Facebook group that is dedicated to pen collecting where the pens have to cost less than
$20. Isn't that, oh my God.
And there's a surprising number of those out there as well. But the logo pens and pencils are a lot of fun to collect. You never know what you're going to be able to find. And some of those things are absolutely wild.
Yeah, absolutely. My dad's got some very strange and unique ones. Is there a holy grail of pen, Paul?
Well, I don't know if I would really say a holy grail of pens. There's a lot that are extremely rare and expensive, but being extremely rare doesn't make them extremely valuable. There's the famous one is a Superman pen. That there are only about four or five examples known, but to buy one, if the guy wants to sell it, they're not expensive. Mm. The older the pen usually raises the price to a degree, but scarcity, quality of workmanship, simple demand, it's capitalism in its purest form when it comes down to it. Mm. I've seen a pen change hands for multiple tens of thousands of dollars.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was probably 110, 120-year-old pen, but it was gold and overlaid and mother-of-pearl strips on it.
Oh,
and it was a Parker and just a magnificent piece of artwork as much as a pen.
That's really great. Tell everybody about some of the activities and the things that are happening for this weekend at the pen show.
Well, we started out today with our dealer day, and that's where the dealers are arriving. They're setting up on their tables for the most part. the front atrium area of the hotel we set up for a pizza party, so they're not able to set up there until tomorrow. But we offer four-day, three-day passes, and then single-day passes as well, depending on what you want to do. Mostly it's dealers today, but we have more and more people who come in and buy the $60 four-day pass, and essentially it gets them first shot at a lot of the pens. Tomorrow, we offer an individual day pass where you can get in for $25 at noon until 5, or a three-day pass, and that'll get you in at 9 in the morning tomorrow, as well as Saturday and Sunday. And the advantage to that is, by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, most all of the dealers are completely set up. You get first shot at it 3 hours before the general public comes in.
Oh, wow.
Saturday, $10. Sunday, $10 per day. And we run 9 to 5 on both those days. We have our auction tomorrow night where we have 100 items up for auction, assorted pens. We don't have any what we call ephemera this year. Ephemera would be like standing signs, pen cases that held the pens, display cases that held the pens, that sort of thing. Ephemera can be just as expensive in some kind, in some cases, as the high-end pens.
Yeah. And I see that you guys are you have pen repair, you have calligraphy,
yes.
Introduction to calligraphy, modern handwriting, intro to art of modern handwriting, sketching with fountain pens, all kinds of really great
A lot of fun. It's unbelievable. We had so many programs set up this year that one of my other partners and I didn't have a chance to put on our own talk. We were going to do a pen program on inks, just inks. And again, it's amazing how many different kinds there are. So the people show an interest in it. One of the things we do have besides that is we have an ink testing station.
Mm.
We have small pens, all the same that we have picked up. Each one of them is full of a different brand and color of ink, and there are 300 different ones to test. And every ink that's in those tester pens is available for sale at the show.
Oh, wow, that's great. And how did you, you know, obviously this has expanded every year. How do the vendors and the guests join every year? How does that happen?
They can sign up online, or they just call us. My numbers are available. My partner's numbers are available. And they just simply call us. They can sign up through PayPal, show up at the door.
Mm.
And more than happy to help you out there.
Okay.
So it's not at all difficult to do it. Plus, once you're on our mailing list, we will send you our brochure that you can then fill out and mail back. Our tables actually sell out almost completely at another fountain pen show that a friend of ours runs in November in Columbus for our May show. We sell out.
Wow. Wow. And by the way, people can go to ChicagoPenShow.com. That's your homepage, ChicagoPenShow.com, for more information. Paul, do you know how many pens you have?
No, and I'm grateful my wife doesn't know either.
do you specifically collect fountain pens?
Yes, mostly fountain pens, although I do enjoy a good rollerball as well. Right now I have two different rollerballs and a ballpoint in my pocket, along with three fountain pens. My wife, as I said, is a lefty, and she enjoys them too. And she's helped us do some design work. She's very good in the office program, so she has helped us. And I've picked her up a couple of beautiful Mont Blanc rollerballs that she likes, as well as had a big black Parker customized for her with opals on both ends.
Wow.
It's jewelry as much as anything else.
Yeah.
And I tell people, they say, well, aren't you afraid of walking around with that much money in your pocket? Because typically I'm running around with $4,000 or $5,000 worth of pens in my pocket. And what's really a hoot is I tell them, no, you know, it's my Rolex. My version of the Rolex.
Right.
Except mine's a lot more usable.
Right. Right. So if people can't make it to the show to check out the dealers and the vendors and everything, where are some good places where you can get pens in Chicago, or are there great places where you can get them? I'm sure you can probably go online.
We have two very good pen stores again, in Chicago.
Okay.
One of them is an old store that has been around a while, but really catered more to the office trade, and that's Atlas Stationers. And another one that's relatively new, good friends of mine, they have a store in Appleton, Wisconsin, but they now have a beautiful store in the Palmer House, and that's Anderson Pens, Brian and Lisa. And they have some magnificent stuff to look at. Any price range you want, and they're more than happy to help you out.
Wow, that's great. And online, I would imagine there's probably a everywhere you can
you
go.
You do a search, and you are going to get inundated.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. This is so fascinating, Paul. I didn't know that this world existed. I got to be honest with you. I had no idea that there was such a pen aficionado world out there.
There are a lot of people out there who are closet collectors. They also don't know that there are that many people out there who share their interest.
Yeah.
We turn up people, major collectors, that nobody knew about all the time.
It's interesting. My dad's going to be thrilled to hear this. I'm telling you, because he thinks it's unusual, I guess, that he has this fascination and love to collect pens. But I'm glad to know that there are so many other people out there that have my dad's interest as well.
Very definitely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, Paul, it was a real pleasure talking to you, man. It was really interesting, and I learned a lot. And the Chicago International Pen Show is underway now, and it runs through Sunday at the Chicago Marriott Northwest, which is in Hoffman Estates. And you can get all the details and the schedule and all that stuff at ChicagoPenShow.com, ChicagoPenShow.com. Paul, real pleasure talking to you, and have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you very much, Nick.
Okay, take care. There you go. Paul Contarato from the Chicago International Pen Show. That was really quite eye-opening. Really interesting. Man, I didn't know that world existed, and it's a big world. That was fun. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Bob Ferguson for pointing us in the direction of the Chicago International Pen Show. That was a fun guest, and I think it's going to be a fun weekend for everybody out there. So check it out. It's a big world. ChicagoPenShow.com. All right. We'll take a break, and we'll come back after this on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. Coming up, we got all of our regular features later on in the show. We're also going to talk about celebrity names. And we're here until 5 a.m. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you'd like to join us. That, of course, was from the score from Star Wars, which would be, of course, John Williams. Some sad news for Star Wars fans. Peter Mayhew passed away a couple of days ago. He, of course, played Chewbacca in many Star Wars movies over the past three decades. And Chewbacca is one of the most beloved characters in the Star Wars universe, without question. I was talking to Vic about it. Vic, you were a Chewbacca fan, right, when you were younger?
I'm a Chewbacca fan now. When I was younger, my favorite character was Boba Fett.
Yeah, Boba Fett was like, that was the, there's a cult of Boba Fett fans out there.
Man, I've always called him Bubba Fett.
Bubba Fett?
Bubba Fett. I don't know why.
Yeah, he's from the South.
There you go.
Now, you know, you had the toys and stuff growing up, right, Vic?
Yep. Yeah, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not like a Star Wars nut, or,
yeah.
You know, I wouldn't call myself a fanatic over it, but yeah, when I was younger, I had a lot of them.
And you know, our buddy Colin, who doesn't do the movie reviews with us anymore, Jim does, but Colin and Eric are both hardcore Star Wars fans, like hardcore. And whenever a Star Wars movie has come out, we've had them come down to the studio and we video them because they have a ridiculous collection of toys.
Okay.
So
that's got to be worth a ton.
Oh, yeah. Well, they bring all, no, because they've played with them. You know what I mean? That's the thing. That's the problem with, like, people are talking about how much toys are worth. The problem is that you can't play with them. You got to keep them in the package. And what fun is that?
Right.
You know, unless you buy two of them, one to play with and one to collect.
I guess it would be fun when you sold one figurine for maybe $1,000. That would be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, no, no. There are some Star Wars toys out there and some Star Wars things out there that are worth a lot of money. But the stuff that Eric and Colin bring down, they played with when they were kids, and they just kept them. And they have some really fun stuff, and we've got video of that stuff up. I think it's archived. I'm sure it's archived at our website at WGNRadio.com. But they've got a pretty exceptional collection, these guys.
You know, we should probably say at this point, tomorrow's May the 4th.
I know.
And the prices on a lot of those collector's items go down a little bit on May the 4th if anybody wants to try to pick some up.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Oh, okay. All right.
Shoppers have quite a bit of fun with that.
Oh, that's cool. See, I think it's sad that we hear the news of Peter Mayhew so close to May the 4th. Which is a celebrates Star Wars on May the 4th because it's May the 4th be with you.
Right.
But yeah, it was sad to hear the news. And I'm just a casual Star Wars guy. You know what I mean? But I met Peter Mayhew why am I blanking on the
Wizard World?
I met him at Wizard World, and he couldn't have been a kinder guy. He was a very very nice, very very nice man. And I know that he was very very kind to his fans. And you know, and loved doing the conventions, and loved the fact that he is Chewbacca. He did, and you met him, right, Tom?
Yeah, I met him maybe I was 15, probably even earlier, also at Wizard World, and it was a really strange moment. I think he was like really the first celebrity that I ever really met.
Yeah,
and it was such a positive experience, and I really loved Star Wars growing up, even though my first Star Wars was the prequels.
Yeah,
which he's not in two of them. But you know, I got introduced pretty early on to the original trilogy. I know my mom took me when they did the re-release in 97.
Yeah,
my mom took me to it, but I was too young. I didn't know what was going on. Believe it or not, an empty theater because it was a super early matinee. So me and the kids that my mom brought were just running up and down the aisles.
Yeah.
But in the years, I really came to love and admire Peter Mayhew.
Yeah.
Just as a guy. He's just a really, he's a really great guy.
This is Mark the Bread Man. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Nick. How you doing, sir?
All right.
Yeah, I was at the Star Wars convention like 3 weeks ago and actually got to meet Peter Mayhew and got an autograph on one of my figures.
Mm.
Very, very nice guy. You know, as they say, a gentle giant.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was there at the Star Wars thing we had here in Chicago?
Yeah, one of the days he canceled, I guess he wasn't feeling well, but he was there out of the 5 days. I think he was there 3 of the days.
Mm. So you got to meet him, and everybody who's ever met him says that he was a very very kind guy. Yeah,
yeah. His hand like swallowed my hand.
Well, yeah,
when he shook it.
Yeah. He was a huge guy. He was 7'4". He was a big guy. Well, at least you got to meet him. You a big Star Wars fan, Mark?
I mean, I got tattoos. I run a Star Wars fan club. Yeah, I'm a Star Wars
fan. Are you looking forward to the rise of Skywalker?
I am, and I'm with you. I think Rogue One is one of the best Star Wars films.
I love Rogue One. I'm not a big Star Wars guy, Mark, as you know, but Rogue One is my favorite of all of them, and I'm including the original trilogy. Rogue One is my favorite.
I wouldn't go that far, but yeah, I draw a lot of ire from my friends. I love Rogue One.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Okay, Mark, thanks, man.
All right, Nick, have a good one.
Oh, you too, buddy. There you go. Met Peter Mayhew. Got his signature and all that cool stuff. Here's a little piece that they wrote about of Peter Mayhew. It was, you know, I mean, everybody was very, very sad. So many Star Wars fans, you know, in the world. And they were all, you know, everybody was really posting online some really lovely pictures and some stories. And lots of sad Wookiee sounds were you know, with you know, like little video clips of Chewie being sad. It was just, I mean, so first of all, you know, Star Wars, obviously these are classic legendary movies that are going to live forever. And, Chewbacca is one of the most beloved characters, in the films. Peter Mayhew, the original actor who played Chewbacca, has died. The news was confirmed by Mayhew's family, who announced it in a statement on Twitter, saying that he died on April 30th with his family by his side. A cause of death was not given, though he'd undergone multiple surgeries in the last few years and had recently retired from playing Chewbacca for health reasons. He was 74. In the statement announcing his death, Mayhew's family said that Star Wars meant so much more to him than a role in a film, providing him with friends and family that he would love for decades to come. Mayhew's very first real acting role was as Chewbacca in the original Star Wars in 1977. He went on to play the character in the whole original trilogy, and then Star Wars Episode III, The Revenge of the Sith, and most recently Star Wars The Force Awakens. He also worked as a consultant on Last Jedi, though by that point, and for the spin-off film Solo, A Star Wars Story, he had already formally handed over the role to his Force Awakens body double, Jonas Suotamo. Mayhew also made appearances as Chewbacca in the Clone Wars animated series and Star Wars Battlefront video game. Before Star Wars, Mayhew played a Minotaur in Ray Harryhausen's Sinbad and the Eye of the Tiger, and was working at a hospital when he answered a casting call for what became Star Wars. As the story goes, he got the job simply because of his physique. With George Lucas needing an actor taller than Darth Vader actor David Prowse, Mayhew didn't provide Chewbacca's voice in the original movie, as he was just the man in the suit. But as the man in the suit, he brought an unforgettable level of emotion and expressiveness to his iconic Wookiee. After all, the whole shtick of the character is that Chewbacca seems like a mindless beast from the outside, but is actually a bit of a sweetie, and that simply wouldn't work without the right performer underneath all that hair. As Mayhew became more famous from the Star Wars movies in his life, he traveled the world for conventions and public appearances. His family said that he began to realize the impact he could have, and he started to become heavily involved with Star Wars fan group, the 501st Legion, as well as charities like Wounded Warriors. Star Wars fans will always remember him. So, do you have a favorite Chewbacca moment?
That's a tough one. There's a lot of good stuff. Personally, I would point towards the bit in Solo where him and Han Solo meet for the first time. And yeah. It's not Peter Mayhew in that one, but right. They do this whole bit to like get out of a prison, and I think right. I think it's really funny.
Yeah,
I think it's very clever.
Yeah, that's another movie that nobody really liked, but I did.
I think it's all right.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was entertaining. Harrison Ford worked with him closely, and he worked with him the most of any of the actors and actresses in Star Wars. And the public perception of Harrison Ford is that he's not a terribly sentimental guy, bordering on standoffish or even gruff. Yeah, that's... the guy cannot stand... You tell the guy cannot stand doing junkets or doing press for anything, because he's so grumpy all the time. I will say this. The junket footage and the publicity tour that he and Gosling did for 2049 was pretty great.
Yeah.
Because they clearly got along really well. I mean, they were hilarious together on that publicity tour. They were hysterical. And they did it together. Like, they appeared together on like the late night talk shows, not single. They were together. And it was hysterical. They were like a comedy team.
Do you remember when he did the appearance on Kimmel prior to Force Awakens, where they did the bit with a guy in a Chewbacca suit, and he pretends like there was some affair? He's like, turns to the dude and
yeah,
she was my wife.
Yeah. yeah. But of course, when we see Ford emotionally react to things, it's usually in the process of talking to the press, a scenario he's famously not a huge fan of, especially when the attention-demanding Star Wars franchise is involved. Ford let the world see his softer side and a much more tender side of his personality today, though in honor of the death of his friend and longtime co-star, Peter Mayhew. In a statement to The Hollywood Reporter, Ford talked about Mayhew's great dignity and noble character, writing that we were partners in film and friends in life for over 30 years, and I loved him. He says, Peter Mayhew was a kind and gentle man, possessed of great dignity and noble character. These aspects of his own personality, plus his wit and grace, he brought to Chewbacca. We were partners in film and friends in life for over 30 years, and I loved him. He invested his soul in the character and brought great pleasure to the Star Wars audience. Chewbacca was an important part of the success of the films we made together. He knew how important the fans of the franchise were to its continued success, and he was devoted to them. I and millions of others will never forget Peter and what he gave to us. My thoughts are with his dear wife, Angie, and his children. Rest easy, my dear friend. Very nice. Mayhew's other Star Wars co-stars shared their own memories of working with the actor, including Mark Hamill, who, like Ford, appeared with him in four of the franchise's films. People have also been sharing old archival images of Mayhew, who he towered over. He was 7'4", and he towered over the 5'1" Carrie Fisher. And Mayhew wrote his own loving tribute back in 2016 after Carrie Fisher's passing. Lots of pictures online of, you know, the two of them together, whether they were in costume or not. And then the gif of them hugging from Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they reunite. Mm-hmm. And that gif, you know, on repeat were on people's news feeds.
Yeah. It was very nice.
Yeah, no, it was nice. And it's really sad because they're both passed away. And,
right.
And, you know, yeah. That was really devastating time there. The Carrie Fisher goes, and 2 days later, Debbie Reynolds goes. That shows how connected they were and how much they, you know, how close they were and how much they loved each other.
Yeah, I never really believed in the idea of dying of a broken heart until that happened. And I was like, it can really happen.
Absolutely.
And
Yeah,
it was devastating.
Yeah, it was. So, okay, we're going to take a break. And then we got some facts about Chewbacca. And if you have any Chewbacca stories or Peter Mayhew, if you met him at a convention, you just want to reminisce a little bit about Chewbacca, what are some of your favorite Chewbacca moments in the series? 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And when we come back, we'll tell you some facts about Chewbacca as we celebrate the life and the fantastic contribution that Peter Mayhew made to the Star Wars franchise. All right, we'll take a break and we'll come back after this.
WGN everywhere. On smart speakers, mobile devices, and the 50,000-watt mothership. 720 WGN.
More Chicago than ever before.
Everywhere.
Hi, it's Wendy Snyder here. Are you currently taking a daily probiotic? Well, you should be, and not just any probiotic. Take the world's best. It's Natron's Healthy Trinity. My family and I take Natron's Healthy Trinity every morning. Here's the Natron difference. Decades ago, Natron was founded by Natasha Trenev, the mother of all probiotics. She's a 50-year veteran in the field of probiotics, and her company guarantees 100% potency for all their products. They meet the highest international standards for quality, safety, and manufacturing. And Natron's probiotics come with 30 years of focused, rigorous scientific research and technology from leading scientists and researchers in the field of probiotics. While the industry of probiotics has exploded, they're not all created equally. Natron's Healthy Trinity is serious probiotics for people who take their health seriously. Go to natron.com or the probiotic cooler section at Whole Foods, Fruitful Yield, or your favorite health food store. That's natren.com, Natron's Healthy Trinity. Others promise Natron and delivers.
Manufacturing is at the heart of our economy in Chicago. As a matter of fact, it's the second largest business sector. Now, we all want to run or manage companies that provide safe work environments and meet government regulations. Luckily, there's a business called U.S. Compliance. It's not a government agency, but they work with the government agencies that meet the OSHA standards and environmental compliance regulations that you don't have the time to worry about. Their goal is to help you keep your workers safe, keep the environment healthy, and make your community a better place. If you're the owner of a small to medium-sized business, or maybe you're the plant manager, or you're responsible for the company's OSHA and environmental regulations, U.S. Compliance is here to make your life easier. They provide comprehensive expertise for a flat monthly fee. They're never going to come in and upcharge you. You know what you're paying. U.S. Compliance has been doing this for over 30 years. Visit them at uscompliance.com. That's uscompliance.com, or call 888-897-8681. Start spending time on what's going to keep you in business, make you money, and make you happy. It's uscompliance.com, 888-897-8681.
Get prepared for the peak home buying season with the Home Snap app. With the most up-to-date real estate listings and statuses, again, it's called Home Snap, and it's a free download online at gethomesnap.app.
Right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Here until 5 a.m. It's Friday, so that means all of our regular Friday features will be happening. You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D. Show Spies, and then Fly Jams Friday. So get your R&B and your funky selections ready to go, and Luscious Hushes will play them for you. Go to 312-981-7200 for your requests a little bit later on. We'll play them when it becomes Fly Jams Friday. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All coming up right here on WGN. So, welcome back. And if you guys want to jump in here with your Chewbacca memories or your memories about Peter Mayhew, who just passed away and played the iconic character in the Star Wars films, we would love to hear from you at 312-981-7200. And a little bit later on, we're going to talk about some celebrity names with insane backstories that you never knew. That's coming up a little bit later. So stay tuned for that. But right now we're going to talk just a little bit about Mental Floss put together some crazy facts that you might not know about Chewbacca. And in honor of Peter Mayhew, we thought we would give you some facts. Maybe you didn't know about it. If you have a if you are a Star Wars fanatic, I would imagine you probably know most of these things. Mental Floss put this together. On Tuesday, April 30th, actor Peter Mayhew, the actor who played Chewbacca for more than three decades, passed away at the age of 74 in his home in North Texas. As a tribute to the pop culture hero's iconic character, here are some things that you might not know about Han Solo's BFF. First of all, this one, I actually knew this one. He was inspired by George Lucas's dog. And again, as if you're a regular listener, you know I'm not the biggest Star Wars fan in the world, but I actually knew that one. That one got around. The character of Chewbacca was inspired by George Lucas's big, hairy Alaskan Malamute, Indiana, which, of course, is where they got the name for the Harrison Ford character. According to Lucas, the dog would always sit in the passenger seat of his car like a co-pilot, and people would confuse the dog for an actual person. And in case you're wondering, yes, that's the same dog that it was the inspiration behind the name of one of Lucas's other creations, Indiana Jones.
You named yourself after the dog?
Yeah. Chewbacca's name is Russian in origin. The name Chewbacca was derived from the Russian word sobaka, meaning dog. The term Wookiee came from voice actor Terry McGovern. When he was doing voiceover tracks on Lucas's directorial debut, THX 1138, McGovern randomly improvised the line, "I think I ran over a Wookiee," during one of the sessions. "I think I ran over a Wookiee." All right. Okay. If you want to jump in here, 312-981-7200. Here's Jim on WGN. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Nick, how's it going? Good
right.
show.
Thanks. What's up?
My sister entered me in a radio contest. I don't remember the name of the radio station. Pepsi was doing a promo for it, but it was the hairiest Chewbacca. And she entered me in the contest because I'm kind of like a fat little hairy bear.
Yeah.
You know, and I ended up winning the contest out of five guys. There must have been 1,500 people out in the parking lot of this theater in Oak Brook. I didn't think there was going to be anybody there at 9 o'clock in the morning, but
yeah.
I ended up winning the Curious Chewbacca contest and won a way neat Star Wars 7 leather bomber jacket.
Wow.
One of a kind thing from Pepsi. I have it wrapped up and put away, but it was a good time, but it was for the hairiest Chewbacca.
There you go. You are as hairy as Chewbacca. All right, Jim.
Yeah.
Congratulations, buddy.
All right.
Take care. There you go. I love the fact that his sister entered him into the contest. Yeah, you're a hairy little dude. Let's enter you into the Hairy as Chewbacca contest. And that so sounds like a morning drive thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, we're going to give away Star Wars jacket to the Hairy as Chewbacca. Yeah. Here's Survivor. I don't know. You know, some of the stuff that these guys do on the morning drive, man. It just sounds so, oh man, let's just, hey man, I got an idea, man. Let's do a Hairy as Chewbacca contest, man. We'll do it in Oak Brook. We'll do it outside in Oak Brook.
In December.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we want to see these guys take off their clothes in December. It'll be really funny, man, especially in Oak Brook. It'll be hilarious. The people of Oak Brook will love it. did you know that the Wookiee is really, really old? In Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, Chewbacca is 200 years old. All right. How about this? Peter Mayhew's height helped him land the role. Well, we just heard about that. Mayhew was chosen to play everyone's favorite Wookiee primarily because of his tremendous height. He was 7'4". So, yeah. I don't know. I think my favorite Chewbacca moment is "Laugh it up, Fuzzball." That's one of my favorites. I mean, the stuff between him and Harrison Ford is great. Like the stuff between them, it's because for me, Han Solo is my favorite character in the Star Wars.
Yeah,
in the Star Wars movies. Although, her name's Rey, right?
Yeah.
I love her.
Oh yeah, Daisy Ridley is
she's awesome.
A joy to watch.
She's awesome. I actually like everybody in the new series.
They're really fun characters.
Yeah.
I love Finn. John Boyega is just like the most expressive person.
And Poe. Poe is
po
great.
Poe Dameron.
Yeah. So, but yeah. that was Laugh It Up, Fuzzball is one of those moments that I really love. And I also love when they kill Han Solo. Well, sorry, the movie's old enough for me to say that now.
Yeah,
when
they, what, 2015?
When they kill Han Solo, his reaction, Chewbacca's reaction, just start throwing guys. Well, that's just a stunning moment in that series anyway.
No, very good.
Yeah. So, all right. More facts about Chewbacca. And if you want to jump in with your Peter Mayhew or Chewbacca story or memories, it's 312-981-7200. We'll get back to it after the news, which is next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're here until 5 a.m. It is Friday, so that means all of our regular Friday features are coming up. Straight out of context, that's when you listen to this radio station 24/7. And whenever anybody says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds a little dirty and it makes you giggle, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Same thing holds true with Nick D Show Spies. That's when you listen 24/7. Whenever anybody mentions me or the show in any capacity, we want to know about it. You become a spy. Jot it all down and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. You Big Dummy coming up and Fly Jams Friday. We had some sad news just the past couple of days. Peter Mayhew passed away. He was the guy who played Chewbacca for many years in the Star Wars movies. And we are remembering him and also telling you some facts about Chewbacca, the character that you may not know. And if you guys want to jump in here with your Star Wars memories or your Peter Mayhew thoughts or your Chewbacca favorite moments, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 301 area code says, I just woke up to the sad news. I've been a huge Star Wars fan since 1977 when I stood in a very long line on opening night when the original movie was only playing at one theater in the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area. Yeah. Yeah, there were long lines all over the country when that movie came out. I was 12, and it should have been in my wheelhouse, but it really didn't do it. It didn't do it for all my friends went every week. I mean, I saw it 3 or 4 times in the theater. Because everybody was going, I was like, all right, I'll go see it again. And I mean, I liked it, but I didn't love it. I didn't go nuts like my friends did. And they went nuts. And then, so when Jedi came out, I was 13. No, I was 15 when Jedi came out. Jedi came out in 80.
No, so, that was Empire.
I'm sorry. Empire came out in 80. Empire came out in 80. So I was 15. And I liked that one more than Star Wars. And then when Jedi came out, I was 18. And I was already cynical. And I did not like Jedi at all. I had none of the toys. That whole thing just was missed on me. But as a 12-year-old seeing Star Wars, I should have gone nuts. My friends did. And I've said this on the air before, the movie that captured my imagination in 1977 was Close Encounters. That was the one that did it for me. I was much more into Close Encounters than I was Star Wars. And I saw Close Encounters in the theater more times than I saw Star Wars in the theater. So in 1977, the science fiction movie that really got to me and captured me was Close Encounters. And I always try to figure out why that is. And I think it's because, you know, Star Wars is in this alternate universe, and you're submerged in this universe, and you have to kind of buy it, buy the world and the characters and everything. Whereas, you know, Close Encounters is based in real life, a really real family situation, something that I could grasp onto emotionally more than Star Wars. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, Star Wars is it's George Lucas remaking Flash Gordon.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Which is great, and yeah. it works amazingly in that way. And that's not to call him, you know, unoriginal, but he was drawing from so many.
Oh no, he admits that.
Yeah, he knows.
He totally admits that,
and that's why it works so well, is because it's drawing from all these things he loved
and Kurosawa.
Yeah, and Kurosawa, dude. Like, it's the Hidden Fortress.
It is completely the Hidden Fortress.
Oh, my God. Toshiro Mifune is Han Solo. Yeah. I mean, we could go into it. But, right. No, I totally get that.
Yeah. But I connected with Close Encounters on a level that I didn't. Like, Star Wars, I had a good time. I thought, oh, that was fun. But, like, I was really, like, I really connected emotionally with Close Encounters. And with what these human characters were going through, you know, and I also was astonished. I remember just when the mothership comes up from behind Devil's Tower, and I remember sitting in the theater, I've never seen anything like that before in my life. I just thought the effects were unbelievable. That whole sequence at Devil's Tower, that whole long, like, last half hour of the movie is just so great. And 2 years ago when they re-released it, theatrically, oh man, that was it was funny. 2000, did you get the chance to see it?
I remember I got excited because it was a whole new restoration,
yeah,
and everything like that. And as you said, it's one of those special effects moments that in 2000, you know, what was 2 years ago, you know, in 2017, you can't even believe how good that is.
It's ridiculous.
And you've got studios now throwing literally, like, millions, hundreds of millions of dollars into special effects, and they still can't beat it.
Yeah,
it's a
really magical moment too, and I just love it. I love everything about that movie. It also plays like a for at times it's a really scary movie. Like,
it's
the
terrifying.
The first part of that movie is really scary before mm-hmm. you know what's going on. I mean, the scene with the kid getting abducted is beautiful and terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Melinda Dillon is such a great performance from her, and Dreyfuss is great. Terry Garr, all that stuff at home with the kids.
Yeah,
I love all that stuff. And but yeah, I mean, by the end, that was the one that I latched onto. That's the one. That was the science fiction movie that got me.
I was drawn to the heroics. I love swashbuckling things.
Sure.
And Star Wars is that in droves.
Yeah,
and I think as I got older, I understood Close Encounters a lot more because I appreciated the depth of the family stuff. And,
yeah,
like, you know, it was this particular style of science fiction that I ended up liking probably a lot more than I would Star Wars. But right. I saw Star Wars for the first time. That even I saw Phantom Menace when I was 7.
Yeah, yeah.
And even though now it's like, kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But, like, I was just so drawn in by everything that was going on. They got laser swords.
Right.
Although that bit where they bump off Liam Neeson really freaked me out,
mm-hmm.
and made me very aware of death.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the swashbuckling thing was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I can understand that. I understand that. It's not like I'm against...
No,
you know, I'm like, I'm against escapism, because that's not true. A lot of my movies are stupid and take place in alternate universes.
Sure.
But for some reason, it was Close Encounters that stuck with me. It was funny because in 2017, my two favorite experiences in a movie theater were 40 years old. We're 40 years old.
For Close Encounters?
Close Encounters. Yeah. It was a 40-year-old movie, and it was my favorite. That was one of my favorite experiences in a movie. The other one was when, at Flashback, we screened the restored print of Suspiria. and the 40th anniversary. So two movies from 1977 were my two favorite experiences in the movie theater in 2017. So
it's a special year.
Yeah. Yeah. Chewbacca's suit is made of a mix of animal hairs and eventually included a cooling system. For the original trilogy and the infamous holiday special.
Classic.
Oh, my God. The Chewbacca costume was made with a combination of real yak and rabbit hair knitted into the base of mohair. A slightly altered original Chewie costume was used in 1999's Phantom Menace for the Wookiee senator character Yayura? Yarua? And a new costume used during Episode 3 included a specially made water cooling system so that Mayhew could wear the suit for long periods of time and not be overheated. Okay. One of Stanley Kubrick's closest creators designed Chewbacca's costume. To create the original costume for Chewbacca, Lucas hired legendary makeup supervisor Stuart Freeborn, who was recruited because of his work on the apes in the Dawn of Man sequence in Stanley Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey. Freeborn had also previously worked with Kubrick on Dr. Strangelove to effectively disguise Peter Sellers in each of his three roles in that film. I love that movie so much.
Mein Führer, I can walk. I can walk.
You know, you can. You know the guy who plays the Russian president. If you watch the scene where. There's like a medium shot of the room, and everybody is standing and looking at Strangelove as he's in the wheelchair giving his speech. And if you watch him, you watch that actor who plays the Russian, while Peter Sellers is trying to control his hand from Sieg Heil, you know, where he's trying to control it. This guy, he's laughing his ass off. You can see it in the background. You watch next time you watch it. Watch the Russian guy when Sellers is struggling with his hand.
Oh, man.
You could see him just, he's just like, he's trying to hold it together, but he can't stop.
I would be losing my
mind.
Well,
yeah, I mean, it was just genius.
Please, gentlemen, this is the war room.
You can't fight in here. This is the war room. He'll see everything. He'll see the big board. George C. Scott, man. George C. Scott. I'm telling you, that's my favorite. I know that, you know, there are great performances in that movie, and Peter Sellers gives three great performances. But George C. Scott is ridiculously.
He's on a different level.
He is brilliantly funny in that movie. It's one of my favorite comedic performances of all time. Freeborn would go on to supervise the creation of Yoda in The Empire Strikes Back and Jabba the Hutt and the Ewoks in Return of the Jedi. Lucas originally wanted Freeborn's costume for Chewie to be a combination of a monkey, a dog, and a cat. According to Freeborn, the biggest problem during production with the costume was Mayhew's eyes. With his eyes, the actor's body heat in the mask caused his face to detach from the costume's eyes and made him look separate from the mask. Okay. Let's see. 724 area code says the original Star Wars came along at the perfect time to capture my imagination. 10 to 12, I was totally into it. But by the time the next movie, I was totally over all the mania and had to move on to other things like girls, baseball, cars, etc.
Chicks, man.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing. You know, that's another thing that made me go a little bit negative on it was all the marketing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everything was, well, they do that very brilliantly in Spaceballs, where they take on, you know, all the stuff that you can buy and the products and everything. I mean, it was everywhere. It was everywhere. And I became, like I said, by the time I saw Jedi, I was like, I was pretty much done with all the commercialism of it and all the products and everything. I was like, okay, enough. So I don't know. And that was the first movie to really, really do that and do it in such a massive fashion. And you know, but now you can get, you know, now that you can go to McDonald's and get yourself a little Iron Man.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. My parents got me one. It's on the desk in our office. Little teeny bobblehead Iron Man.
I'll give it a little,
you can get them at McDonald's. McDonald's is the tie-in with Avengers.
Yeah. Not shocked.
Yeah. I still think that one of the greatest commercials ever for a movie tie-in with a fast food place was Taco Bell
yeah.
with Godzilla. Here, lizard, lizard, lizard. It's the Taco Bell dog. Here, lizard, lizard, lizard.
Promoting Roland Emmerich's best film.
Oh, God. Well, that's not saying much.
I know.
No. Didn't he do Universal Soldier?
I'm not sure.
Or Stargate? Did he do Stargate? Is there a Stargate in your bedroom? Then sit the flip down. I think Roland Emmerich did Universal Soldier, and I think he did Stargate. Both of those I kind of like. All of the other movies, I can't stand any of his other movies.
Oh, and Independence Day.
Oh, I hate Independence
Day. Oh, come on.
Oh, it's terrible. It's a terrible movie. And how many movies is this idiot going to make where he blows up the White House? He blows up the White House in like seven movies. All right. We got a break here. And when we come back, more Chewbacca facts. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We've got some really crazy backstories behind celebrity names. We're going to talk about that. And then after 4 o'clock, we'll jump into our regular Friday features with You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and then Fly Jams Friday. Right now, we're remembering Peter Mayhew and talking about the iconic character that he played in the Star Wars series, Chewbacca. And we got some facts about Chewbacca. Finding Chewbacca's voice was Ben Burtt's first assignment. The first sound effect that director George Lucas hired now legendary sound designer Ben Burtt on Star Wars was Chewbacca's voice. This was all the way back during the script stage. During the year of preliminary sound recording, Burtt principally used the vocalization of a black bear named Tarek from Happy Hollow Zoo in San Jose, California for Chewbacca. He would eventually synchronize those sounds with further walrus, lion, and badger vocalizations for the complete voice. The name of the language Chewbacca speaks came to be known in the Star Wars universe as Shirewook. Shirewook? Okay. Roger Ebert was not a fan of Chewie. What? Roger Ebert was not a fan of the big guy. In his 1997 review of the special edition of The Empire Strikes Back, Ebert basically called Chewbacca the worst character in the series. This character was thrown into the first film as window dressing and never thought through, and as a result has been saddled with one facial expression and one mournful yelp, the famed critic. I so disagree with Roger.
It's not the first time that he's been wrong.
Much more could have been done. How can you have a space pilot and not be able to communicate in any meaningful way? Does Han Solo really understand Chewie's monotonous noises? Do they have long chats sometimes? Never mind. Wow. Chewbacca was originally more scantily clad. In the summary for Lucas's second draft, which is dated January 28, 1975, when the film was called Adventures of the Starkiller, Episode 1, Star Wars, The Star Wars, that was the full title. Chewbacca is described as an 8-foot-tall, savage-looking creature resembling a huge gray bush baby monkey with fierce baboon-like fangs. His large yellow eyes dominate his fur face, and over his matted furry body he wears 2 chrome bandoliers, a flak jacket painted with a bizarre camouflage pattern, brown cloth shorts, and little else. Chewie's design was based on Ralph McQuarrie's concept art. Chewbacca's character design was based on the concept art drawn by Ralph McQuarrie. Lucas had originally given McQuarrie a photo of a lemur for inspiration, and McQuarrie proceeded to draw the character as a female, but Chewbacca was soon changed to male. McQuarrie was also based his furry design on an illustration by the artist John Schoener, who had been commissioned for Game of Thrones scribe George R.R. Martin's short story and 7 Times Never Kill a Man. Sharp-eyed Chewbacca fans will recognize the Schoener's drawing even includes what resembles a Wookiee's signature weapon, the bowcaster. Chewbacca won a Lifetime Achievement Award. Oh, I remember that. It was MTV Movie Awards. I remember that. Fans were angry for decades that Chewie didn't receive a Medal of Valor. Yeah, that's, you know what? That's very true, that he does not get a medal at the end of that movie.
Because he's a walking carpet.
That's just not cool.
No, it's disappointing.
And when he got the Lifetime Achievement Award at the 1997 MTV Movie Awards, the medal was given to Mayhew, decked out in full costume by Princess Leia herself, actress Carrie Fisher. His acceptance speech was entirely in Wookiee grunge, which lasted 16 seconds. When asked why Chewbacca didn't receive a medal at the end of the first film, Lucas explained, "Medals don't really mean much to Wookiees. They don't really put too much credence in them. They have different kinds of ceremonies." Oh, shut up.
Nice save.
Come on. Chewie has a family back home. Oh, man. Yes, they do. According to the infamous Star Wars holiday special, Chewbacca has a wife named Malatabook, a son named Lumpawaru, also known as Lumpy, a father named Adaitchcook, also known as Itchy. In the special, Chewie and Han visit the Wookiee planet of Kashyyyk to celebrate Life Day, a celebration of Wookiee's home planet of their diverse ecosystem. The special features Jefferson Starship, Diane Carroll, Art Carney, Harvey Korman, and Bea Arthur, and marks the first appearance of Boba Fett. Lucas hated the special so much that he limited its availability following its original air date. It's out there, folks. You can get it.
It's not hard.
No, not hard to get. Mayhew's big feet are what kickstarted his career. Mayhew's path to playing Chewbacca began with a string of lucky breaks and his big feet. A special London reporter was doing a story on people with big feet, and they happened to profile Mayhew. It's been a slow news day. A movie producer saw the article and cast him in an uncredited role in Sinbad and the Eye of the Tiger. Mayhew kept his day job while shooting Star Wars. During the shooting of Star Wars, Mayhew kept working his day job as a deputy head porter in a London hospital. Though he was let go because of his sudden varying shooting schedules, he was eventually hired back after production wrapped. And then Darth Vader could have been Chewbacca. David Prowse, the 6'5 actor who ended up portraying Darth Vader in costume only, originally turned down the role of Chewbacca. When given the choice between portraying the two characters, Prowse said, "I turned down the role of Chewbacca at once. I know that people remember villains longer than heroes. At the time, I didn't know I'd be wearing a mask. Throughout the production, I thought Vader's voice would be mine." Poor guy. He's never seen. He's wearing a mask the whole time, and it's James Earl Jones' voice.
Have you ever heard David Prowse doing the line readings?
Yes.
Hearing a large Scotsman?
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. All right. Let's take a break here. There's some facts about Chewbacca. Rest in peace, Peter Mayhew. Brought joy to a lot of people. All right, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some insane backstories to celebrity names. The news is up after this. Jam. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It is Friday. That means Fly Jams Friday. Straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and all of the other stuff will be happening. So all our regular features. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk or text. And I've got some, this is from cracked.com, which is a really fun website. And it's celebrity names with insane backstories that you probably never knew. Celebrities change their name all the time. It's not always because Cruz sounds a lot cooler than Mapother, which is actually Tom Cruise's last name. A lot of times it's truly interesting, if not juicy. There's a story behind every famous person's stage name. So here we go. If anybody knows how some celebrities got their names, or you have any stories similar to this, it's 312-981-7200. Leonardo DiCaprio's first name was inspired by none other than Leonardo da Vinci. While his mother was pregnant with DiCaprio, she and his father were looking at one of da Vinci's paintings when little DiCaprio started kicking furiously. His father then decided, you know, Leonardo, be a good name.
Kind of hoped it was going to be like the Ninja Turtle.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Watching Ninja Turtles and be like, yeah, let's name our kid Leonardo.
Yeah. My buddy, you know, hey, listen, Joe.
Yeah.
What the hell happened after that first album, him? His last name was Donatello.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so he loved that was his favorite Ninja Turtle. The Iron Man star, Robert Downey Jr., revealed that his father, filmmaker Robert Downey Sr., changed his name so that he could join the Army as a minor. So his real last name is Robert Elias. So he would be Robert Elias Jr.
Hmm.
But his dad changed his name to Downey.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that happened. To get into the Army as a minor. That's really funny because
why would you have to change your name
as a minor? So I mean, it wasn't his real name. They couldn't, I guess, look up records or something.
Yeah, I suppose so.
But I just find it really in order to get into the Army, his last name is Elias. That's Willem Dafoe's name in Platoon.
Ooh. Maybe Oliver Stone knew.
I don't know. Yeah, interesting. Alicia Beth Moore, Pink, got her stage name from Mr. Pink? Is that right? Did you know that?
I did.
Man, I didn't think it was possible for me to like Pink more.
That's pretty badass.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. And I love Pink. I don't need any more excuses to like her. That's another reason to like her.
Am I the only professional around here?
Man. So Alicia Beth Moore, Pink, got her stage name from Mr. Pink in Reservoir Dogs because she shared the Steve Buscemi character's sassy and smart-ass attitude. It may also be due to a bullying incident where her pants were pulled down in public and everyone made fun of her pink butt cheeks. Two Chainz. I can't say what his
name. Yeah, you can't say his old name.
I can't say his old name.
Skip that part.
I'm going to skip it. We're going to skip that story because I can't say his old name. Ace of Cakes star Duff Goldman got his nickname when his big brother couldn't say his real name, calling him Duffy as a baby instead of Jeffrey. You know how Shemp got the name Shemp?
No.
Of the Three Stooges?
No.
Because his mom had a very, very, very thick Yiddish accent. His name is Samuel. Like, his real name is Samuel. And she would say Shemp instead of Sam. But Shemp.
Wow.
So that's how he became known as Shemp.
Huh.
Because that. His real name is Samuel.
That is a thick accent.
It's a thick, very thick Yiddish accent she had. And by the way, I always say this. Shemp, my favorite Stooge. Of all of them. Everybody thinks I'm nuts. Shemp is the funniest Stooge.
I was big into Iggy.
Oh, God. Come on, man. Charlotte Emma Atchison couldn't think of a good stage name, so she picked her MSN screen name, Charlie XCX, which stuck after she got famous. I have no idea who this person is. Charlie XCX. That was her MSN screen name. And I don't know. I'm looking at her. I see a picture of her, and her name is Charlie XCX. I have no idea who this person is. Does anybody know? Tom, do you know who this person is? Do you know who Charlie XCX is? No idea who that is. Tom knows, so he'll tell us shortly. Charlie XCX. Maybe a musician that I've never heard of because I'm old. All right, let's go on until we get Tom on because he's on the phone right now. Katy Perry changed her name from Katie Hudson to avoid being confused with actress Kate Hudson. But Kate Hudson's father had changed his name from Salerno to Hudson. So Kate Hudson inherited a fake name, causing Katy Perry to have to change hers a couple decades later. I believe her father's name, that would have been the Salerno brothers instead of the Hudson brothers then.
Mm-hmm.
So who is this Charlie XCX?
She's a pop star. She's a fairly big one, too.
Okay. Keep in mind, I'm going to be 54 in a couple of months, yeah. So that's probably why I don't know who she is.
Finally, something I know that you don't.
Yeah.
Nice.
No, there's a lot of stuff you know that I don't, and it would probably be because you're so much younger than I am. Like, anything that's popular now, like, especially in music, I don't know what the hell's going on.
Now, I will put, I'm a little alienated from some popular culture now.
Okay. Buster Keaton was known for his death-defying stunts. Born Joseph Keaton, his nickname came from Harry Houdini, who saw him fall down the stairs as a child without crying and remarked, That sure was a buster. He fell down the stairs, he didn't cry, and that's a buster?
I guess so.
All right. Buster Keaton's a cooler name, though.
I wonder what Harry Houdini was doing there.
Just hanging out, watching kids fall down the stairs.
And doing nothing about it?
Well, he was tied up and locked up at the time. He was in a straitjacket.
Kid, give me the key.
Hanging upside down. All right, here's Elizabeth on WGN. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Nick.
Hi.
I went to Farragut High School, graduated in January of 1951. I had a lovely blonde girl in my division called Marilyn Novak.
Marilyn Novak.
Yes, and when she became a starlet, they wanted to change her name to either Kit Marlowe or Kim Marlowe. But being the stubborn bohemian that she insisted on keeping her last name of Novak.
But they changed it to Kim instead of Marilyn.
Correct, but yeah. They had to. There was Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, exactly.
Already.
Exactly. And Marilyn Monroe already. Okay, that's interesting.
All right. But she was a lovely, lovely girl. And
yeah.
She still is.
Yeah, absolutely. And Vertigo is my favorite movie that she's ever been in. So I love her.
Yeah.
All right, Elizabeth, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. This one I knew. In 1967, David Jones... I had to change his last name to avoid being confused with Davy Jones of the Monkees. His new surname, Bowie, was a tribute to 19th century Texan pioneer Jim Bowie. I knew that one. I think a lot of people know that one, especially if you're a fan of Bowie, you know it.
Yeah. What always confused me is that, it's Jim Bowie, David Bowie, but it's a Bowie knife.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Yeah. Some people do say Bowie.
When they
pronounce David Bowie, some people do say Bowie.
David Bowie.
Yeah.
I like the English Bowie.
Oh, it's Bowie. Oh, no,
David
yeah, it's
Bowie.
David Bowie.
Bowie's in space.
Yeah. God, he's so funny on Extras. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, was he funny on that? When he sings the Fat Man song?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He was a talented actor.
You know, he was great. David Bowie. The Weeknd. And remember, there's no E in that. The Weeknd came up with his stage name as a reference to the time when he ran away from home with his friend for the weekend. He had to drop the E in his name because The Weeknd, with an E, was already taken by a Canadian band. I wonder if Canadian Bill knows who The Weeknd is.
I wonder. I actually saw The Weeknd minus the E at Lollapalooza 2012. He was on before the Chili Peppers, who I was really there to see.
Yeah.
And he ticked off the entire crowd. He must have been doing a few festival dates because he came out and had the microphone and he said, "What's up, Coach? What's up, Lollapalooza?" And everybody booed him.
I miss his bad hair. I used to love his bad hair.
Oh, like the big...
Ridiculous.
It was very distinct.
No, I loved it. I thought he looked like an idiot, but I thought it was fantastic. And when he cut the hair, I was like, what did The Weeknd cut his bad hair for? I liked his hair. And by the way, that's a younger artist. And I know who he is, and I like his music.
It's good stuff.
It's really good stuff. I think he's great.
I like his last one. They did a lot of stuff with the dudes from Daft Punk.
Yeah. No, I think he's great. I think The Weeknd is really, really great. But I miss his hair. I wish he would grow his stupid hair back.
Bring it back.
Yeah, bring it back, Weeknd.
If you're listening, I know you are.
I know. I know you listen all week. You're getting ready for your name. That's why you listen all week. So, bring the hair back. That hair was great. All right. We'll break here for some weather, and then we'll come back, and we've got more backstories behind celebrity names.
I feel it coming.
Like we're starting Fly Jams Friday a little bit early, and we'll be doing that a little bit later on. Also coming up here, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, we are talking about how celebrities got their names, and David Tennant, His birth name was David McDonald, but there was already a David McDonald in the actors' union he was joining, so that he had to change it. He flicked through a music magazine and chose Tennant after Neil Tennant from Pet Shop Boys. That's fantastic. I didn't know that.
It's too bad there's a really popular beer made in Scotland called Tennant's.
Oh, sure.
And I kind of always thought that that might have been it, just as kind of a joke.
No, after Neil Tennant from the Pet Shop Boys. That's pretty great.
West End Girls.
Oprah Winfrey was named Oprah after a woman in the Bible. Along the way, her name got misspelled as O-P-R-A-H, so often that it just kind of stuck. Orpah is what she was named after. Orpah. O-R-P-A-H. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I thought maybe it was because it was Harpo spelled backwards, and somebody liked them. They liked the Marx Brothers. That's the that's what I. That's what I thought. Arrested Development star Portia de Rossi, and this is I get her mixed up with who's the daughter on The Sopranos? Is the daughter on The Sopranos? I get her mixed up with. It's Portia de Rossi or DiMatteo? What's the...
I'm looking.
I get her mixed up.
She's Meadow Soprano, right?
Yeah.
Jamie Lynn Sigler.
No, that's not who it is.
No, that's not who?
No. Portia de Rossi. I get Portia de Rossi and who was on... let's see. Was she on The Sopranos? When she was on The Sopranos. Maybe she played his... Oh, I can't remember.
Concubine?
I can't remember. But anyway, I get them confused. Arrested Development star Portia de Rossi was... is Drea Di Matteo? Who's that?
Drea Di Matteo.
Is that... Who am I... Do a little search on Drea Di Matteo. And I don't know. I don't know why I'm... Is that a person that lives, or am I nuts?
Drea Di Matteo. Yeah, she was on Desperate Housewives.
Okay, that's not her. All right, I don't know.
She's on Sons of Anarchy.
Somebody was on. No, somebody was who was on The Sopranos. I get confused with Portia de Rossi, and I don't know who it is.
Hold on. She was on The Sopranos. Let me get her specific role.
Drea Di Matteo. I don't know if that's the person though.
And she's Adriana La Serva?
I don't have no idea.
Oh, God.
Anyway, Portia de Rossi was born in Australia as Amanda Rogers. She's Australian?
Yeah, did you not know that?
No.
Oh, she totally cut the accent.
Wow, okay. Amanda Rogers, she was born. The actress said she was struggling with her identity as a gay teen, so she decided to reinvent herself and chose Portia because... she was a Shakespeare fan, and de Rossi, because when you live in Australia, Europe is so far away and so fascinating. All right. Brie Larson's given surname is Desaulniers, but she wanted something that was easy to say. So she took the surname of Kristen Larson, her favorite American girl doll. Uh-huh. All right. Keanu Reeves' first name, I knew this one. Keanu Reeves' first name is Hawaiian. Keanu meaning cool breeze over the mountains. As awesome as that is, his agents thought it wasn't good enough at first, so he almost changed it to Chuck Spadina. He told that story on one of the late night shows, and when I heard that they wanted me to change my name to Chuck Spadina, he was going to be Chuck Spadina.
Chuck and Drea Di Matteo, we just had a caller call in. It was Michael Imperioli's girlfriend on The Sopranos, if that helps.
What's her name? What's the actress's name?
Drea Di Matteo is the actress's name.
All right, I'm telling you, I think it's somebody else. Emily Jean Stone changed her name to Emma Stone for two reasons. Her real name was already taken when she tried to register at the Actors Guild, and she always wanted to be Baby Spice Emma Bunton.
I don't get why they can't have two actors with the same name.
I don't know why
they just won't let you.
Yeah. I mean, that's why Michael J. Fox was not going to be Michael J. Fox. He was just going to be Michael Fox. But there was already a Michael Fox. Martin Sheen's name. I think we all knew this one. Martin Sheen's real name is Ramon Gerardo Antonio Estevez. Due to prejudices against Hispanics in the 1950s in New York, he named himself Martin after a casting director at CBS and Sheen after the auxiliary bishop of New York. However, his son Emilio Estevez decided to keep the family name because, according to him, Emilio Sheen looked stupid on headshots. That's a pretty good reason. Let's see. Becalas Almanzar was nicknamed Bacardi after the liquor company because her sister's name is Hennessy. It was her Instagram name, but her account kept getting deleted, so she shortened it to Cardi B. That's from Bacardi? That's
yep.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Completely. The way she acts totally makes sense that there's rum involved. John Simon Ritchie was named Sid Vicious after a hamster. Bandmate Johnny Rotten's pet hamster was named Sid, and he mockingly called Ritchie Sid. Vicious comes from Lou Reed's song Vicious, and Ritchie saying when Sid once tried to bite him, "Oh, your Sid is vicious."
Wow. I kind of hoped it would be a little bit,
yeah,
you know, more hardcore. It is the Sex Pistols.
Post Malone. I'm assuming he got his name from a mistake that they made on his face when they tattooed it.
Just wait till you see.
He went to a rap name generator and just typed Austin Post, his real name. So his name is Austin Post?
Yep.
But Post Malone, you think, is a better rap name?
Post Malone. I just love that he used a generator.
Yeah. Buzz Aldrin's first name was actually Edwin, but his sister, who couldn't pronounce brother, called him Buzzer, and it stuck. Boy, these mispronunciations are Iggy Azalea. Iggy came from her dog's name. Azalea was derived from the street her mom lived on. Do we have any idea what her real name is?
Iggy Azalea.
Nicki Minaj's birth name is Onika Mirage, but her friend started calling her Nicki, and she was convinced to change her last name by a company exec at the start of her career, and she still hates it.
Iggy Azalea's real name is Amethyst Amelia Kelly.
Wow. Okay. I think that's better.
Amethyst.
Ben Haggerty took his stage name from a high school art assignment where he named a superhero figurine Professor Macklemore. So his real name is Ben Haggerty?
Yep. Straight out of Seattle.
Yeah. Adam Spiegel got nicknamed Spike Jones by his dirt bike shop co-workers. He didn't shower before work, and his hair stuck out like a spike's.
Why am I not surprised?
It had nothing to do with Spike Jones, the novelty music star. Okay. Miley Cyrus was born Destiny Hope Cyrus. She was called Smiley as a child because she smiled all the time. Eventually, Smiley became Miley, which she legalized as a teenager. And then finally, the last one, Alicia Keys chose her last name after her friend told her she had a dream about trying to open a locked briefcase. I was like, Keys, and I play the piano, and that's Keys. Keys, doors, keys open doors and windows, and I want to open doors. Okay. I figured the keys thing was because of the pianos. That would have been my guess. So there you go. Some stories behind the stories of some celebrity names.
Okay. I wish I had a celebrity name, but you know, the one I've got's pretty good.
You don't know that you shouldn't change that.
Can't change my last name to Steel.
No.
Tom Steele.
That's not going to work.
No?
No. All right, we got to take a break. And when we come back, we got the news. And then after the news, our regular Friday features begin with You Big Dummy.
Dummy. see what you did?
Oh, no, you big dummy.
You dummy!
Yeah, that's right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here, live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago on this Friday morning. And our regular features begin now. We'll have Straight Outta Context, Nick D Show Spies, then we're all going to get funky, and we'll have some Fly Jams Friday, all coming up. But right now, it's time for You Big Dummy! This is where we gather together real news stories about real people doing real dumb stuff. And then we vote on who is the biggest dummy. Tom votes, I vote, and then our first caller who gets through at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, first person through gets to be the third vote for Dummy of the Week. So here we go. Dummy number one, dummy number one, dummy one. It'll be interesting to see how he answered the question, have you ever been charged with a crime? A Wyoming man was arrested after filling out a job application at Sportsman's Warehouse where he had just shoplifted sunglasses and bullets. Sunglasses and bullets? According to the Gillette News Record, the 36-year-old alleged shoplifter first visited the Gillette, Wyoming sporting goods store to buy a few items, at which time he stole a pair of $90 shades and ammo worth nearly $50. Roughly 3 hours after Sportsman's Warehouse reported the theft, the unidentified perp returned to the store to fill out a job application. During that visit, the alleged thief reportedly lifted two more pairs of sunglasses valued at $85. Newsweek alleged the shoplifter was caught on video removing stickers from the merchandise he'd said to have pilfered. The cops issued a citation and recovered the stolen goods, according to NBC affiliate KHQ. It's likely the shoplifting charges may affect his candidacy for the job with the retail chain, which has 93 stores and employs 5,300 people.
Before this game, you were just a plain dummy, but after the night, you'd be a broke dummy. To the dummy with the black mustache.
Dummy number two. Dummy number two. Dummy number two. A man who stuffed a large Angus beef rib roast worth $62 down the front of his pants at a Florida supermarket had his alleged meat heist spoiled by an alert store employee, according to the West arrest report. Cops say that Eric Warden, 40, jammed a 7-pound rib roast into his pants and then sought to exit a Publix supermarket in Parrish, a Tampa suburb. But Warden's rib bid late last month was thwarted by a Publix manager who approached the accused thief to challenge him about the roast concealed in his pants, quote-unquote. All right, you got me, Warden reportedly declared as he removed the roast before fleeing out the exit doors at around 8:30 a.m. Warden was subsequently apprehended in the shopping plaza where Publix is located. After initially claiming that he had not stolen the rib roast since he dropped it before fleeing, Warden acknowledged putting the meat down his pants and that he had no money to pay for the rib roast. After it stay inside Warden's pants, the rib roast was discarded due to contamination.
Is that a rib roast in your pants, or are you just happy to see me?
God. Warden was charged with misdemeanor theft and booked into a county jail, now free on $500 bond. Warden has pleaded not guilty to the misdemeanor count. Warden has a lengthy rap sheet, which includes time in state prison for burglary and trafficking in stolen property.
What kind of life you think it is being the father of a young dummy? And for every dummy, there's a dummy.
Dummy number three, dummy number three, dummy three. A mother-daughter duo who used a $4,000 drone to drop a package of contraband behind the walls of a Florida. It is again Florida. Florida prison will themselves serve time as a result of a felony plea deal struck with prosecutors. Cassandra Kerr and Conchita Diodano, 40 and 22 respectively, this week each entered a no-contest plea to introducing contraband into a state correctional institution, a felony carrying a maximum of 5 years in prison. As part of the plea deal, Kerr and Diodano are expected to receive 6 months in jail, where they are sentenced in late July. The pair will also have to pay court and prosecution costs. Durr and Diodano were arrested in mid-December shortly after Martin Correctional Institution staffers spotted a drone hovering over the facility at around 2 a.m. Jailers were suspicious that the drone was possibly delivering a package to the rooftop of one of the inmate housing facilities. Investigators subsequently recovered the drone's cargo, a package containing tobacco and cell phones. The drone, a Matrice 600 outfitted with a payload release mechanic, mechanism, was later destroyed when it somehow struck a car traveling near the prison entrance. After spotting a Chevrolet Silverado driving slowly near the lockup, prison personnel questioned the truck's passengers, Durr and Diodato. Durr quickly confessed that she had been piloting the drone via an iPad, adding that she purchased the drone on eBay and practiced flying it several times before coming to MCI to deliver the contraband. Diodano, who drove the truck, admitted that the duo came to the prison to deliver a package via drone. Kerr and Diodato live in Tampa. Do you think they're neighbors with the guy who's stuffing things down his pants?
Second cousins.
Oh, my God. It's about 170 miles west of MCI, which houses 1,500 male inmates, one of whom, at the time of the drone incident, was Andres Correa, former Tampa resident serving a 25-year sentence. Kerr admitted that the tobacco and cell phones were intended for Correa, with whom she had communicated about aerial contraband delivery. Police identified Correa and Kerr's spouse, a union that occurred after his incarceration. While Correa has not been charged in connection with the contraband scheme, he was transferred from MCI a month after they were collared.
One dummy ain't enough in this house. You got to bring home super dummy. So if you and Rollo going to be in the movie, I got the perfect name for it. Super Dummies.
Dummy number four. Dummy number four. Dummy number four. A pair of bumbling burglars were arrested after apparently butt-dialing 911 while fleeing a scene of a burglary at a Best Buy near Houston early on Saturday. The men are alleged to have knocked off a Best Buy in Sugar Land, Texas, at about 3 a.m. While responding to an alarm at the store, dispatch received a 911 call in the area, Houston police said. But instead of a caller, they heard only background noise. Authorities said that they pinged the cell phone, which was coming from a car traveling toward Houston from the suburban electronics store, and took off in pursuit. He somehow butt-dialed 911. They put it all together. Officers were already en route to the alarm call when they got the other 911 call. The communications officer from Houston Department told ABC affiliate KTRK. The suspects led police on a chase that reached speeds of 120 miles per hour, authorities said. The suspects bailed out of their truck in northeast Houston, but two of the three men were captured. The third remains at large. Authorities found stolen laptops and other electronics from Best Buy in the suspect's truck. The same Best Buy in Sugar Land was the scene of a $200,000 robbery in March of 2015.
Here's something for you right here. Want it. Dummy. Won't be long before we'll hear the pitter-patter of tiny dummies around the house.
All right, we're going to break here for weather, and then we got one more dummy story to read, and then we'll do the summation and the vote. Again, first person through after I do the summation and the update will call us at 312-981-7200. Thank you. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. Friday. All the regular Friday features have begun. We will have Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and of course, it'll get funky in here with Fly Jams Friday. But right now, it's time to get back to You Big Dummy. Dummy number five, dummy number five, dummy number five. This has a little connection here to our producer, Tom. Tom, this is from your neck of the woods where you grew up, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. Crystal Lake, represent. One suspect is in custody and a warrant has been issued for the other suspect after the two went on a robbery spree of several gas stations around Crystal Lake in March and then posted video online of the money they stole. Arrest warrants were issued for Matthew Weglies, who's 23, from the 2200 block of South 59th Avenue in Cicero, and Shaquille D.D. Davidson, 24, from the 1400 block in Chicago of South Canal Street. The Crystal Lake Police Department said the duo was responsible for several armed gas station robberies throughout McHenry County, and Lake County on March 24th. Crystal Lake Deputy Police Chief Tom Kotlowski said that the suspects robbed the Shell gas station at 4811 Northwest Highway in Crystal Lake at around 647 March 24th, and then the Shell gas station at 280 North Route 31 in Crystal Lake an hour later. You've been to those gas stations?
I used to buy, like, I'd get, like, a Red Bull before school at those gas stations.
Okay, there you go. The two suspects then allegedly robbed other gas stations in Lake County at that same night, including a mobile gas station in Island Lake. No injuries were reported from any of the robberies. An anonymous tip was sent to Lake and McHenry County scanner, identifying Davidson as one of the suspects 2 days after the robbery occurred. The anonymous tipster also forwarded Lake and McHenry County scanner a recording of what Davis had uploaded to his Snapchat account. It showed money, guns, and merchandise from all the robberies. Lake and McHenry County scanner forwarded the information and video to the Crystal Lake Police Department in March. Weigels was arrested by the Gurnee Police Department on Friday and was charged with two counts of armed robbery, Class X felony. They have not yet arrested Davidson. He remains Weigels remains held in Lake County Jail for $1 million bond. So there you go. All right. Here's your recap of the dummies of the week, and then the first person who calls in at 312-981-7200 will be our third vote. Let's do the recap. We got the dummy who shoplifted at a sportsman's warehouse and then came back to fill out an application, and that's how he got busted, the job application. That's how he got busted. We got at 8:30 in the morning a guy who jammed a $62 pot roast down his pants before being busted by one of the employees. We've got the mother-daughter drone duo who got busted for flying contraband into a prison and got busted. And we got the burglars who butt-dialed 911 on themselves after a high-speed chase and in Houston. And then we've got locally, from Tom's hometown of Crystal Lake, we've got the idiots who robbed a bunch of gas stations and then posted stuff on Snapchat and then got busted. Okay, Tom, what is your thinking on this?
Well, you know, I want to go Crystal Lake because represent.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm a sucker for anybody putting anything down their pants. So I got to give it to the guy who thought he could get away with a pot roast.
Yeah. Being stuck down his pants.
Yeah, I can't believe that.
Yeah, it was a 7-pound rib roast that he shoved in his pants. By the way, the phone lines are open. First person through gets the third vote, so get in here now. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. You will be the third vote. So the first vote is for dummy number two, who was the rib roast in the pants, which is actually my college radio name. Yeah, rib roast in the pants! Okay, the shoplifter who came back to fill out a job application is hilarious. That is ridiculous. And the mom-daughter drone apparently didn't really train enough since they're smashing drones into cars. But dialing 911 is always a good thing, always a funny thing. And I, you know, and again, it's it was nice to see that Tom's hometown was being represented. But I too am voting for rib roast in the pants.
Nice,
because it's just hilarious. He jammed. This is how they jammed a 7-pound rib roast. I also love one of the details I love about it was that after it stayed inside his pants, the rib roast was discarded due to contamination.
Well, at least they have some integrity.
Exactly. They're not going to sell that rib roast that was in that guy's pants. So I admire that very much. Well, let's see what our listener would vote for. Here's Michael on WGN. Who are you voting for, Michael?
Well, Nick, as a police officer myself, I love stupid criminal stories, and there's quite a few to pick from here in that selection.
Yeah.
I will go along with you guys. I like the guy with the roast down his pants. That was pretty good. It was a close call between that and the butt dialing 911.
Right.
Because, I mean, like, what are the odds of that happening? Right.
Right. Exactly. Well, that's
I'll go with you guys. I'll go with the roast in the pants. That's
right.
A good one.
Very cool. All right, Michael. Thanks, buddy.
No problem.
All right. And well, there it is. It was unanimous. Anybody who tries to put a $62 rib roast down the front of their pants is an idiot. I love that he fleed. Oh, you can't arrest me. I didn't actually steal it. But then he admits that he shoved it down his pants and he had no money.
Yeah, quote, all right, you got me.
All right, you got me. Dummy of the week. We'll do it again next week, and the dummy stories keep coming. I'm telling you, we're never for lack of dummy. And Florida represented twice this week.
Both from Tampa, right?
Yeah, right in Tampa, the Tampa neighborhood. And the winner was a Florida man who shoved a roast down his pants. All right. Let's try this out. Oh, maybe if I did that. F-bomb.
Out of context. Context.
What's up?
Tell them where you're from.
Straight out of context.
Yeah, that's right. Straight out of context is time now, and that's when you listen to this radio station 24/7 and help us out by finding things that people say on this station at any time. Pull them out of context. They sound a little dirty, makes you giggle. Jot down the date, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. We can get a few in before the news, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. What do we got?
All right, first one's coming to us from Curtis K over in the sports department here, one of the producers.
Oh, yeah.
Dick.
Where was it? Who was that?
That was Ro Khan.
Oh.
And for the FCC, that was, he was singing about Dick Biondi.
Dick Biondi.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Next one is one of the newer additions to the WGN family, Lauren Lapka.
I often buy little boys.
Who sent that in?
That's from Jesse.
Okay.
Next one. They caught me. This is Michael. I like that shaft.
What was it?
I was saying, I like that shaft.
Oh, there you go. All right. Very good.
Yep.
Yeah. And that movie's coming out in a few weeks, so we'll probably hear more of those drops from the new Shaft movie. Okay. All right. What's next?
All right. Next up, Brian caught Anna DeVellante saying this.
They're an inch long. That's bigger than I thought.
Wow. All right. Okay.
All right. QC Doug heard you.
And it's thick. What was I talking about?
I can't remember. Probably fast food.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, Lake Geneva Dan also caught you saying this one.
I would totally eat that. Wow. All right. Yeah, anytime we talk about food, we have a tendency to get descriptive in a way that fits the straight out of context world. All right.
All right. This one's coming to us from Brian again. This is Ro Khan.
So you definitely should, absolutely get on this right now.
Uh-huh. Get on what, Ro, exactly?
No,
my friend. What are you saying? All right.
And you again, you had a big week
heck?
This week.
If my option is to actually have meat, I'll have meat. I know we were talking about the. That's when we were talking about that vegan burger.
Yeah, the Impossible Burger.
The Impossible Burger that they're going to have at Burger King. All right. Well, okay. Well, let's hang on to the rest of them. We'll pick up where we left off with Straight Out of Context. Then we got Nick D Show Spies, and then things are going to get funky. But right now we got a break because the news is up next right here on 720 WGN. So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck, because Ice Cube is crazy as F-bomb. As I leave, believe I'm stomping, but when I come back, boy, I'm coming straight out of context, context, context. Context. Context.
What's up?
Tell them where you're from.
Straight out of context,
context, context, context, context, context.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Fly Jams Friday is coming up. We're going to get real funky, and our Fly Jam names will be popping out in just a couple of minutes. That'll be coming up. But right now we're in the middle of Straight Out of Context. This is when you listen to this radio station 24/7. Whenever anybody says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty and it makes you giggle, jot down the day, the time we said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. All right, we got a few more.
Yes. All right. Tom and Bartlett caught me doing this. That'll get you up in the morning. Yeah. You know, from one Tom to another. Come on, man.
What was that? What were you talking about?
That was when we were talking about the buffalo sauce latte.
Oh,
you remember that?
Yeah.
The weird fast food items.
God.
That will get you up in the morning.
Yeah, no kidding. All right.
All right. The queen of Straight Out of Context, Wendy Snyder here.
I can handle the undercarriage.
That was Joel and Gurney. She can handle it.
Oh, Wendy, Wendy, Wendy. All right.
All right. This next one, it's you here. You got caught by Wild Bill.
Did I just see that they're projecting that by Saturday evening we may have 5.1 inches? Wow. Okay, Wild Bill. All right.
Playing the long game there.
I was talking about rain, my friend.
It's the snow, remember?
Oh, snow.
Yeah, it was the snow.
Oh, yeah, well, we got 5 inches. By the way, in 4 days, we broke a record. In 4 days, we had 5 point something inches at O'Hare. Rain. Okay.
Yeah.
The average for that kind of stretch is 0.83.
You serious?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Tell me, I got to move. Yeah. It's weather.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Next up, we got Wendy again, caught by Scott in Carpentersville.
It's so big.
It's
so
long.
It's like 3 phone books.
Man, were they talking about the Mueller report?
Yes, they were.
Okay, that's it. It would have been my guess. either that or Lord of the Rings. I don't know. All right.
Brian Noonan appearing on the list for the first time in a while. Caught by Kevin in Lakewood.
I pull it out. Why not?
Oh God. Oh my God.
I'm going to send him that.
Yeah, you might want to.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
he's got to watch himself.
That's a good one. Okay.
All right, Steve Cochran finally making the list this week, caught by John in Belvedere.
I didn't get a good look at the tongue.
What was that about?
Talking about camels. You know, there were several that could have been submitted for something about riding camels. I don't know.
Yeah, about camels. All right,
here is Maria in Belvedere.
Don't leave it up there, because here's an idea. It's going to come off.
Oh, again, Wendy.
Wendy, again. Too good.
Okay.
And then capping us off this week is a spectacular submission. This is from James here in Chicago, and it's Brian Noonan.
Well, at that point, my lips are already on there. So. And as of today, there's no tingling or redness, so I'm going to guess everything's fine.
Good Lord.
Woof.
Oh, my God. Yeah, wow. Noonan coming back strong after not being a part of it for a little while.
He's got a daughter. I can't believe he's talking like that.
It's disgusting. All right.
What do you do? No one else can dance like you. So what's all the fuss? There ain't nobody
spies.
Like hey.
Someone took your plans away. So what?
despise spies.
Like us.
There it is. All right. This is Nick D Show Spies. And this, again, is you guys participating. And what you do is you listen 24/7 to this radio station. And whenever anybody at any time mentions me or the show in any capacity, we want to know about it. Jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Okay, Tom, what do we got?
All right. First one coming to us from Scott in Carpentersville. This is Wendy.
I was in the Soviet Union in the 80s.
Yes.
They had beer vending machines.
They
oh,
did.
Now you are but it was, so talking.
But it, no, not really, because it was like that. There was one glass. So you'd put the glass under and fill up your glass with beer. You'd drink it, and then you'd return the glass.
Put the same glass under without next, it being washed.
For the next person.
I would just put my mouth under that spigot. Well, go ahead, Nick DiGilio. Take it. Good God, y'all.
Every time, every show. There's something. Every show. Yeah.
She can't help it. And again, she got caught for a separate mention. This is from Ken in Hillside.
We would talk to any of these people, and for some reason, SNL is not letting them come on our show.
Right.
I don't get that.
I think it's because of your attitude.
I love them. Heidi Gardner, I'm a fan of hers. I know, I think Nick DiGilio loves her.
I want to marry Heidi Gardner.
Oh, wow. So that's a yes.
Oh, I love Heidi Gardner. I think Heidi Gardner is the best new cast member last year when she made her debut on the show. Best new cast member in years. I mean years.
She's great.
She's phenomenal, and she's really, really funny, and she does great character work, and the stuff that she does on Weekend Update, that angel, the every boxer's girlfriend from every boxing movie is I'm gonna take my kids to my sisters. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I love Heidi Gardner. It's an understatement to say that I love her. I think she is phenomenal.
Yeah, she's great.
She's just great consistently. So yes, Wendy, I do. I love Heidi Gardner.
All right, final one here. This is Steve Cochran and Dean Richards talking about you by Kelly from Elgin. Now, hold on 1 second. Once it actually plays.
That's the brilliant part about my mover is that you get a ride. If you're thirsty, you can get a glass of milk.
Is it squeeze your own udders, or do you have a technical team that does that?
Well, you can squeeze your own. Some people like the... Excuse me? But there's one. That's for you, Nick.
A few call-outs. They know what they've done.
Everybody does now. Everybody does.
They always do.
Yeah. All right. Well, there it is. And if they talk about me again, I want to know about it. So write it all down and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com for Nick D Show Spies. All right. Should we play the thing?
When I grew up on the farm, fly was something we sprayed to kill, and jam was something we put on our breakfast toast.
Jam. Fly jam. Fly Jam's Friday.
Oh, yeah. This is Fly Jam Friday on your overnight radio with my man, Nick D, on 720 WGN.
That's right. Fly Jam's Friday. We start off your weekend on a funky note with some R&B and some fun. So get your Fly Jam requests in, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Can we get the introduction of Luscious Hushes?
Oh, yeah, Luscious Hushes, baby.
There he is. DJ Luscious Hushes is ready to go. I'm Wiki Wiki Nicky. Viggity Viggity Vic, verified double V's running around like a lunatic in the newsroom, as he does every time Fly Jams Friday gets kicked off. And we want to hear from you, 312-981-7200. All right, we already got some requests, right, Luscious Hushes?
They're coming in.
All right.
In droves.
Well, what do we got here?
All right, first off, we've got Egyptian Lover with Freakaholic, and that's coming to us from Dino. So thanks, Dino.
We'll be right back. So are there lyrics to this? What? There's a lot of drum samples happening right now.
I know. I had to start at the beginning.
Oh, you started at the beginning. Okay.
But Dino is a fan of these.
All right. There you go. It took a while to get there. Okay. All right, let's do one more before we break for the weather and get more funky here on Fly Jams Friday. What do we got next?
All right, next up is I Want to Be Your Man by Zapp and Roger, and that's coming to us from Mike and Joliet.
All right. All right. Getting funky here on a Friday morning, which is what we do every Friday. It's Fly Jams Friday. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. 312-981-7200. Luscious Hushes. Let's hear your intro again there, Luscious Hushes.
Oh, yeah, Luscious Hushes, baby.
He's here. All right, let's do some weather, and then we'll come back with more Fly Jams and close out the show. So today, clouds early. The sun will break through later in the morning. We'll see highs between 55 and 60. For tomorrow, clouds early, mostly sunny. Then between 65 and 70 will be your high, but cooler near the lake. For Sunday, partly cloudy skies, seasonably mild, highs around 70 degrees. Again, cooler near the lake. For Monday, a mix of sun and clouds, chance of showers, temperatures falling back into the 50s along the lakefront. Tuesday, mostly cloudy with periods of showers and thunderstorms possible. Be a good time to stay in and see a movie, to go to the movies and get out of the rain. And I'm hosting a screening of North by Northwest, only one of the greatest thrillers of all time, one of the best Hitchcock movies ever made, Cary Grant in North by Northwest. Very rarely gets shown on the big screen, and I'm showing it Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, AMC Rosemont 18. Get your tickets now. So reserve your seats now. Just go to amctheaters.com. amctheaters.com. Go to the seating chart. Pick out the seats you want. They'll be waiting for you. Again, only $10. Parking is free. And the classic, brilliant North by Northwest with Cary Grant, directed by Alfred Hitchcock, on the big screen in all its Technicolor VistaVision glory. It is a great, great movie, and it's going to be amazing to see on the big screen. So see one of the best movies ever made, one of the greatest Hitchcock thrillers ever made on the big screen. $10, parking is free. AMCtheaters.com, and get your tickets right now. Reserve them right now, and then we'll see you Tuesday night. And then beforehand, grab some dinner at Murray Brothers Caddyshack restaurant, which is right down the street at the Crown Plaza Hotel. If you say, hey, I'm with the Nick DiGiulio Film Club, you get 15% off of every food item. So go in, have some dinner, get 15% off of the food. The food is great there at Murray Brothers Caddyshack Restaurant. And then after the movie, bop over to the AMC Rosemont 18 upstairs in the Premier Theater with the gigantic screen and the love seats and all that stuff. And we'll watch one of the greatest movies ever made. I'll introduce it. We'll talk about it afterwards. Hitchcock's North by Northwest with Cary Grant. $10, parking is free. Get your tickets now at amctheaters.com. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, more Fly Jams Friday for Fly Jams Friday on a Fly Jams Friday. Yeah, can't have a Fly Jams Friday without James Brown, that's for sure. Who requested that one, Luscious Hushes?
That was our good pal, Rasco.
Rasco with a little Papa's Got a Brand New Bag on Fly Jams Friday. It is Fly Jams Friday. Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN. We're here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich coming up next with the opening bell, the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. We get funky every Friday, And Luscious Hushes is your DJ and playing your requests. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medical Newsroom. That's also coming up here on WGN. All right, we have more requests, correct?
Yeah, tons of requests.
All right.
Next up, Steve wanted to hear a little Smokey Robinson, so here is Cruisin'.
Baby, let's cruise away from here.
Gotta love Smokey.
He's the best.
Smokey Robinson, man. Fantastic. That is a fly jam. That's been played a bunch of times here, and you can never hear enough of it. Fly Jams Friday continues right here with some funky songs and some R&B. And your request is at 312-981-7200. Okay, Luscious Hushes, what's next?
All right, what a better way to start the weekend than with Celebration from Kool & the Gang. Oh. This is coming to us from Mike in Louisville.
Oh.
A celebration to last throughout the years. So bring your good times and your laughter too. We gon' celebrate your party
right
with you. Come on now.
All right. By the way, Dean just gave Longshot a B+. Saw it on the TVs. And right now he's showing a clip from Dennis Quaid likes to steal our house.
Is that I'm pretty sure that's the working title.
That is the whole title. Dennis Quaid wants to steal our house back.
Yeah. I'm sure when they pass that script along to him, he's like, oh, this is perfect for me.
He gave it a C. Dean gave it a C.
Oh, that's too bad. C's okay.
No, well, I mean, it's actually higher than I thought it was going to get. The buzz is really bad on it.
I'm going to see
But it's Dennis Quaid, man. Dennis Quaid rules. I want to see Dennis Quaid be a nut.
It's better than watching him with some dog.
Yeah, man. So, all right. Let's get to my dad had a request, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Excellent request.
Okay.
He wanted to hear Peace of My Heart, but not the version most people think of. We're going to go to the original by Irma Franklin, and it's spectacular.
Fantastic. Fantastic request from my dad.
He's always got a good one.
He's got great taste in music, my dad. And he's, he's kind of responsible for my love of fly jams. Because I grew up, the 60s and 70s soul was played throughout the house all the time when I was growing up. So, yeah, very cool. All right, who else has requests?
All right, so it wouldn't be a Fly Jam Friday without Bennett, the Business of Funk,
yes,
Wake
yes,
Night,
yes,
making yes. a triumphant return. This one is by Smoove, and it's called I'm a Man.
Oh, whoops.
There we go. A little reprise for that.
There you go.
Here we go. Smoove, I'm a Man.
If I had my cousin better, I would rather be with Cat, calling both the man or cheddar, knowing where I'm about to rest. Resisting all impulsivity, screaming, kick, critique. I'm a man, if I am, and I'm damned if I love you so. Oh, I'm a man, if I am, and I'm damned if I love you so.
Yeah.
Little Chemical Brothers style breakbeats.
Well, that's all been that song's been covered many times.
Yeah.
Many times. Yeah. So, God, who was the classic rock version of this? Why am I blanking on the band? Steve Winwood.
Yeah, he's with, he's done a version of it.
Yeah.
I want to say.
Steve Winwood is the one that's the one that you hear on classic rock all the time. So, yeah, great song though. And that's a great version of it. Okay. What do we got next?
All right, next to 7731 to hear a little bit of the Spinners. The song is I'll Be Around.
Great song.
And everybody loves the Spinners.
This is our fault in the road. Love's last episode. There's nowhere to go.
One of my favorite songs of all time. Easily one of my favorite songs of all time. And there's a very, very good cover of it by Was Not Was back in the 80s. They did
the dinosaur dude?
Yeah.
Everybody do the dinosaur? Yeah. Oh, man.
Okay, last one.
All right, last one. We're actually going to end on a little James Brown, but it's a little bit more soulful than his usual funk stuff. Here is Cottage for Sale.
For your planet roses, we seem to say a cottage for sale. Oh, the memory seen in the window. I see your face, but when I read.
That's Russ from Displains.
Russ from Displains. There you go. Another Friday, Fly Jams Friday in the books. We'll do it again next week. And all right, we'll be back on Monday morning with the Monday morning movie reviews. We've got the Long Shot. We've got The Intruder. And we've got Ugly Dolls. Those are the ones that are coming out this week, and we'll give you all those reviews on Monday morning.